who honored us with his with an appearance. Dave Damaschuk, so nice of you to join us, David, in the studio for the radio show.
I wanted to come by and see how you were in your final days of fatherlessness.
Yeah. Well, I got I have until Wednesday. Wednesday early, very early in the morning, like 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, really? Oh, I guess so. If it's a
probably
C-section,
good. Yeah,
they know just, the exact time.
They just schedule a time. It's funny because tomorrow is 666, and that's the date the kids were going to be scooped out, but I decided to push it back. I don't really care, but it is funny that they're reprising The Omen or the Damien or whatever the movie is with the 666 thing, and I've started passing these billboards with the big 666, and now I'm seeing the commercials with the 666. And it's just, obviously, there's never been, well, I guess you could do the 66, yeah, 09. I guess you could have been 666, 06, 100 years ago, but it doesn't come up on the calendar that often, every 100 years, right?
No, well, I mean, this is the first six of the new millennium, so it's interesting.
Makes your kid even more dangerous.
I was thinking about that, as a matter of fact, this weekend. First of all, you're an atheist, mm-hmm. and so why would you care about the taboo of it, one, and two, isn't it kind of cool? As a parent, it would be weird to have, you know, the devil spawn, the twins and everything. I understand that. You wouldn't want that stigma.
Right.
But as you go through life, wouldn't you love to be the guy who was born on 6-6?
Yeah.
You're a bad dude.
I would, but then you got a chick who's going to be a bad dude, too.
Yeah, that's
born
a good
on 666, and I'm scared I could overreact. Like, I could watch the movie, Damien. I could get fired up. I could have a couple of glasses of wine. I could be heading up the stairs and find, like, a baby rattle or a pacifier on one of the steps and say, the boy tried to kill me, and then just drown him in the tub. You know what I mean? Just take the law into my own hands. I've seen what's going to happen.
Yes. Well, I read in the paper that many women have scheduled their C-sections Wednesday. So there might be more births Wednesday and today because nobody wants their baby born.
Is that
born.
True?
Yes. Yes. I was not in on the decision and didn't care about it. This is one of these things my wife did during one of her many solo trips to the doctors over the last 9 months. I said, fine. I also have a friend of mine who was born on 6-7. So I just like the idea that it happens to be his birthday. But, yeah, it's a weird. If you weren't thinking, if the 666 wasn't on your radar, and it's not on my radar because I'm an atheist, I don't care. I understand the significance of it to those who do. But passing all the black billboards with the 666, it's a weird thing driving through town, you know, 3 weeks before your kid's supposed to be born, seeing the kid's birthday written in black, ominous lettering on full-size, actually white lettering on full-size black billboard, 666. It's coming. It's kind of weird.
Perhaps it's appropriate, though, for you, since the huge life change this is going to be.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody thinks. I just ran into one of our coworkers in the kitchen here, who we share a communal kitchen with. I think she works over at K-Earth, but I'm not sure. But she's one of these people.
She's a homeless woman, Adam.
Is she?
Yes. Just roams these halls each
Needs
morning.
A cup of coffee like the rest
Someone
of us.
Someone should try to get some ID from her, because she did that thing that everybody does, and I realize, I thankfully, and please stop me if I ever do, but I pride myself on not doing this. She said, where's, have the kids come yet? And I said, no, they're coming Wednesday. And she went, ooh, yeah, exciting, nervous, scary, and then walked away. And I thought, why? What's in it for you? So many people approach life that way. Oh, my God, are you okay? Oh, scary. Oh, this is, no. And I don't know if they take everyone. I can't figure it out. Is it, are they just dumb? Is this kind of stupid and you're just kind of spouting off? You don't mean anything. Is there some agenda? Like, look, I had a lot of pain with my children, or my fill in the blank. Now the world will share. Or is it even worse? Like, I have some anger against you. I can't really just come out and kick you in the shin, but this will be a nice little parting gift for you. I just notice a lot of people in general, it's a kind of a social Tourette's. They're not dropping the N-word in front of Jerron, although he'd probably just look over his shoulder and want to know who they were talking to.
Jerron off the hizzle.
Not that kind of Tourette's. The kind of Tourette's where it's just like, oh, where they sort of take their fears, their pains, and their anxieties, and they throw them at you, you know, like where you go, even Dr. Drew, all those years I worked with Dr. Drew, you know, I'd say, well, I think it's finally time for me to get that hernia surgery. What do you mean? That's no walk in the park. You know, why? What's in it for you? Now, I understand, like, I tell people stuff to prevent them from doing something stupid if, in fact, they don't have to do that. Somebody shows me a color swatch for their room, and it's, you know, hot pink, and I'd say, geez, hey, it's a great color on a donut, but I don't know, 5 years down the road, if you're going to want to live with that color. If they already painted it that color, I don't walk in the room, it's done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was getting this hernia surgery, and Dr. Drew had built it up for 2 weeks. And I was miserable going into the hospital based on, he's a doctor, number one. Number two, he had had the same procedure about a year and a half earlier. And I was thoroughly freaked out just based on Dr. Drew's naysaying. Turned out to be nothing. I was up on my feet working on the house the following day, and it just turned out to be a zero. Maybe that's just how I reacted to it, but I was freaked out going into it. What is it? What is that gene with people? How come no one talks to them about it? Mm-hmm. How come you got to get a lot of that? You know, I flew just after 9/11. Boy, you couldn't pay me to get on a plane. Well, I'm on the way to the airport right now, so, you know.
Well, how about all these predictions of doom and gloom? Perhaps they could all end tomorrow, because I've been reading over the weekend a lot of talk about 6/6 and that this is the apocalypse.
Oh, sure.
That this is it. And I mean, there are articles about people really think it's end of days and everything. So if we survive Tuesday, let's all agree to not plant these seeds of doom and gloom.
It'd be nice. That's a pretty big if. Tiffany? Tiffany?
Hello.
What's up, baby doll?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was doing good until I got the excited, nervous, scared. The trilogy. Yeah. That's what I get. Yeah, aww, fantastic. All everyone right. has a, it's going to change your life.
Yeah.
It is, don't even think about going out anymore. What, were you thinking of, hold on, let me just ask you. For the rest of your life, were you thinking about going out, enjoying a meal? Or were you?
Yeah.
Were you? Don't even think about it.
You want to sleep ever again? You won't.
You want to sleep? You want to enjoy? You want to enjoy your wife sexually ever again? It's not going to happen. It's over. It says life. However you know it. What do you know life? Do you know life as you know it? Over.
But congratulations.
Over. Thank you. It's fantastic. Where are you guys registered? Yeah. What is it with people? I have none of that for anybody. I have a lot of, thumbs up. I don't even talk. Thumb up. How you doing? Hey, having kids.
You would just rather all human beings react the way Molly, your dog, does to you. Yeah. Happy to see you, and that's
just
it. No worries.
Let's just keep moving on. I don't need any. You don't need to explain to me how my life is going to change so dramatically. Thank you. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Hello, how are you? You said you're fine today.
I was fine until that, yes.
Until that, yes. Well, I am born on June 6th, and I've always had problems with the June 6th, the whole thing my whole life. So this time,
right.
Thursday is going to be fun.
Yes, but that was 6/6. What is the year?
65.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Close, but no cigar.
Well, they would always tell me 6.5. Does that mean you're just a little bit of a devil?
Yeah.
They all found things.
It's definitely something. It's definitely good. It gets you, gets you like half a horn and part of a pitchfork. But 666, that's the way to go.
A one-prong pitchfork, isn't that devilish?
Yeah, it's really, really something for making s'mores.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. It's just a stick. All right, baby doll. And your life has been blessed?
Oh, definitely. I have a very good life.
Do you have children?
Yes, I have three.
Okay, because your life's never going to be the same.
Did your life end?
I'm tired of that. You know, I'm tired of everyone in their proclamations. You know, you have a kid, your life's never going to be the same. You lose a kid, your life's never going to be the same. You know, when people do that, there's not a day that'll go by that you'll ever. Well, now with your goddamn voice echoing in my head, yes. I hate when people do it, you know what? And there's not a day that goes, and you'll never stop. You never stop being a parent. I don't care if the kid dies of SIDS when it's 10 seconds old.
I don't want to hear
you'll always be a parent. You don't stop being a parent. You don't stop. Just because they go off to college. You don't stop. Oh, shut up!
What idiot. Is the psychology?
By the way,
of
one
that?
Of your kids is gay. The other one doesn't talk to you.
What do you know?
Yeah, what do you know? No offense, Board Op Bill, but you know what I'm saying.
Hey, just, by the way,
as an example, poor
by
parenting.
By the way, may I just say,
happen.
Tomorrow, yes. Of course, is 6-6.
Right.
06. But before that, it's, of course, it's Junio. It's Cinco de Junio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. The 5th of June. We brought our mariachi band in there. What's happening?
Muy bien. Buenos días, Cinco de Junio.
Well, Cinco de Mayo, and it was, and we had these guys in last month. It was so so festive in here. Now every 5th, every Cinco.
Last year was 555.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. That's what I'm into. 555.
The mark of the boring story.
Señor Marcos, muy aburrido.
Yeah, I like your laughter though. Why don't you give us a little strum?
Sí.
A little strum for us.
I
haven't heard this one.
Cinco de junio, por favor, cinco de junio. No more superstition, what you tell me, I don't care. Don't put that in my head. I don't want to think in when I'm in my bed.
Yeah.
Por favor, you whore, don't do it no more. Por favor, cinco de junio, ole, ole.
Mexican rap. I like that. Custom mariachi wrap for us. All right, so the kids coming on Wednesday. It's Cinco de Junio.
Have you settled on names once and
yes.
for all?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Maybe we should unveil them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Thank you. Yeah, well, why not?
You're going to unveil them ahead of time, though.
Oh, well, no, I should unveil them after. Yes, we've settled on names. That's what I'm going to say.
All right, so tomorrow you'll unveil them.
Yeah, why not?
Wonderful. And how is your wife feeling over the weekend?
Well, she's miserable, and, my wife's not, she's not a Viking. You know, she doesn't have a lot of Viking stock in her. She's more of the complaining tribe. And the idea, she's not really built for kids either. She's, narrow around the hip. She's a small person. And she has almost no pain threshold whatsoever. So she has zero pain threshold. I realized as when Dr. Drew was talking about this earlier, when Dr. Drew was telling me about his hernia surgery, I had the same hernia surgery that Drew said was going to lay me up because it laid him up for a week. I got it on a Friday night, and Saturday morning I was working on my house, swinging closet doors, not because I'm such a man, just because I felt fine. I woke up the following morning. It was like 11 hours after my surgery. I got up out of bed at 7, and I felt great. My wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to work." And I had I didn't feel anything about it. I have a fairly high pain threshold. She has a low one. I think you just get that. It's sort of like a musical ear or something. Either, I don't know if it's good or bad, but that's a hand you get dealt. Hers is low. She's got the twins. She's in trouble. We were in the pool trying to alleviate, in this sort of buoyant environment of the pool. Plus, it was 100.
What they do with horses. That's exactly what they do with the horses.
Yeah, 170 degrees outside. This weekend, and the thing that's comical, and this is trying to steer it this way because something I wanted to talk about. I have a dog. We have a Labrador who will not go near the water. It's really like a bad children's book. Our dog Molly will not go near the water, even though she's full-blooded lab, and everyone else I know who has a lab, the dog dives right in the pool. Our dog's a puss and won't get in the pool, and we're constantly trying to figure out. Now, the dog, now it's 108 degrees over the weekend, and the dog's just walking around panting. You know, animals, we don't even really, you don't need a thermometer. You can just get a cat or a dog. Animals will tell you what's going on. If they're curled up and sitting on the car hood, it means it's cold outside and trying to get a little warmth from the engine bay. And if they're sprawled out, just, they'll just spread themselves out like Jesus on the cross. I mean, my dog, when it's hot, will just spread out onto the tile floor where it's cool. If it's hot, it'll ball up and get onto the rug or on a sofa or something warm. The dog is walking around panting. The whole day. It's really disturbed by the heat. So we try to get it into the swimming pool. Can't get it in the pool. Do the thing with the jerky treats. Dog's not interested. Eventually wrestle the dog into the pool. And then it becomes like you're raping the dog in the pool. Like you're grabbing it and the dog's pawing and clawing and you're yelling, "It's okay, hold still." Shh. Like one of those creepy
It'll
70s
hurt less
movies.
If you don't
yeah, when
fight
someone's
it.
Scary. yeah, this is good. You're going to enjoy it. I love you, you know. Come into the pool and the dog's paddling and panting. And then you try to do the thing where you try to push the dog around, but the dog starts panicking and going the other direction. And then the dog tries to get out of the pool where it can't get out of the pool because it can't figure out where the steps are. How do you train a dog for that? Now the dog won't come near the pool.
Did it have a bad experience in the pool?
I don't know if it was, you know, raped at a public pool. I have no idea what happened.
Like it seems
like it had a bad time.
I wish we had that on video, though. Trying to drag this dog against her will into the pool.
The wife barking out directions, you know, do this, do that. And then the dog, then once the dogs get into the pool, it's funny, they're like, and it's funny if you cradle them so they don't go anywhere, they still just sit there. Like as if you'd pick somebody up and their feet just kept going, like they're trying to run and it just never stopped. All they want to do is get out. But she's a full bred lab.
Aren't they supposed? They're bred to retrieve ducks and such.
Most people have them, can't keep them out of the pool. It's trouble. The dog jumps in the pool and then, you know, takes its muddy paws all through the house and everything. This dog will not go in the pool and won't come near it when we're in it because now the dog clearly doesn't trust me.
Well, after you tried to rape it in the Norman Rockwell painting, you don't
tried.
See.
Not tried.
Did.
Not tried.
Success.
Yes, and he did have that, but it just didn't sell. You
Adam,
don't know all of Rockwell's
Adam,
work.
Do you like raping your dog, Molly? Because once the kids come, that'll never happen again.
Yep. No time for raping the dog.
Your life wilding on dogs in your pool is over, as you know it.
Hope you enjoyed it, because those
you
days
enjoyed
are over.
It. Whatever you like, it's gone. All right, so we will take ourselves a break. What do we got? Bishop Don Magic Juan is coming in here. Let's see. We're not going out with music, Bill. We're going to go out with our mariachi band. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm guessing everyone within the sound of my voice saw last night's episode. Ozzy is going to review the breakup. And much, much more. All right, play us out, mariachi.
Rocky Dagadillo.
Oh, yeah. Rocky.
Delgadillo.
Yes, he's running for attorney general out here in California. Yes.
Rocky.
Yes, he's calling in. Thank you for reminding me.
Rocky.
We had Jerry Brown in last week, and we're in the interest of fair time, we're going to give him a shot. All right, thank you.
Rocky Delgadillo. Bahia, Attorney General, quiere. Donde Jerry Brown? Rocky Delgadillo.
The Adam Carolla Show. Comedy, opinions, celebrities, news, sports, and so much more.
The Ed on the phone. Ed?
You guys got a new girl there, huh?
Yes.
What's her name?
Teresa.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi. Okay. I enjoy your reviews very much.
I like your news. You got some good news for me.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
Cinco de Junio.
It's the 5th. Why not have a Cinco de Mayo in June?
Si.
We enjoyed our mariachi band when we had them in here a month ago, and we're bringing them back. That's all. Ozzy out in the hallway. Got into a lovely argument with my wife in the kitchen yesterday, which is I announced as Waldo about a week ago I was on a diet. Therefore, as Waldo responds by dropping off boxes of pastries every Friday. He shows his love with food. For me, I give people the thumbs up. Ozzy gives them baked goods, sweet baked goods. And he just drops off boxes of pastries. Now, mostly it's for my wife, but it's whoever wants it. And he just leaves them on the kitchen counter. I just come downstairs to see a box of Danish. And I love Danish. I love it. My wife has no sweet tooth at all. not interested. And now that she's pregnant, food is weird to her. She eats too much. She gets acid reflux and so on and so forth. So Ozzy drops off his usual bucket of pastries on Friday, and I have to look at them for the entire weekend and put them in. And for me, that's what it's about. Like, I won't go out and buy a box of Captain Crunch or Cocoa Pebbles or something. I just don't buy it. If I bought it and put it in the cupboard, I would demolish it in a day or so. I don't bring it into the house. That's the way to steer clear of it. I'll be fine. If I open the fridge and look at a cantaloupe, I'll eat the cantaloupe. But if I open the fridge and I look at the Danish, I'll eat the Danish. My wife won't touch the Danish now. So anyway, it's yesterday. It's hot. We went out for a drive. We came home Sunday. I opened the fridge. I'm now staring at the Danish for the 128th time because it's as many times as I opened the fridge over the weekend. And there it is. Beautiful box. It's a nice bakery. And I stare at it and I just look at my wife and I go, what are you going to do with this Danish? And she says, I don't know. I didn't even know what was in there. Well, open it up and look. I thought it was one of those weird meat pastry things Ozzy dropped by. You know, the folks south of the border like to mix their meats with their desserts, sometimes to great effect, oftentimes it's a disaster. My wife not in the mood. I said, I opened the box. There's just filled with beautiful Danish. I said, there's your Danish. It's just sitting in here. Just fine. Put it back. I said, eat it. Now she's angry. Like, what are you coming at me for? I said, that's Ozzy drops the goddamn stuff off on Friday at noon, and it just sits there mocking me for the entire weekend, and you won't touch it. I don't know. I said, look, eat this goddamn Danish. I'll kill you with it.
The whole box? You needed her to eat?
I need her to at least get moving on it. Ozzy, I'm like, and then I get mad at Ozzy. What the hell? And then it's funny because you don't get a lot of sympathy. The guy comes into my home, he drops off Danish, and then he heads off.
Who do we think he is?
Yes. This is an attack. So I'm yelling at my wife, and she's like, all right, I'll eat the goddamn Danish. I hope I choke and everyone dies.
This is some weekend for you. First of all, you're wrestling Molly the dog into the pool forcibly, and then your 9 months pregnant wife, you're forcing Danish down her throat.
It's weird. I feel like I'm out on safari, and I'm administering medicine to an animal who doesn't want it. You know, the animal's running, it's wrestling. It said, no, this is going to help. This is antibiotic. So I take it out of the thing. Oh, it's beautiful looking Danish, too. It's
from cheesy.
It's got the cheesy stuff, got the fruity stuff. I lay it out on a plate. I sprinkle just a little water on it. I put it in the microwave for like 22 seconds. Not 20 seconds. Not 30. 20. Bing, bing. Don't have to pick my finger up. Real time saver. 22 seconds. I present it to her. She's eating it. She's enjoying it now. I'm yelling, see. I'm now angry at Ozzy. So the only thing worse than being on a diet and having sweets and Danish dropped off at the house on Friday for the weekend is having a wife that will not touch it, and I just have to stare at it in that box. I will not throw it away. There's no way I'm throwing away good food. I can't eat it. I'm on my diet. I have the only pregnant wife in the world that's not interested in Danish.
You could give it to your neighbor if you didn't hate your neighbor.
Well, maybe I could give it to the neighbor on the other side. Ozzy, I told you, I'm looking at Ozzy's laughing as I told you 2 weeks ago I was on a diet. You do nothing but drop food off at my house. If it's not Danish, it's something else. It's just piles of
you're
tortillas,
bringing delicious pastries and
good. What a hateful
also,
man!
I know it's good looking himself. Stuff.
No, I'm like this.
Yeah. Oh, now he doesn't speak English.
He doesn't speak English.
I think you owe Adam an apology.
Yes. How dare you drop off delicious Danish?
Come on,
my house. Yeah, come
sorry,
on.
Man.
All right, just listen. Force Lynette to eat it, would you please?
Okay.
All right. Are you coming over today?
Yeah, I go.
All right.
Well,
you eat it. Lynette ate one. Get her to eat another one, and then. And by the way, I don't know if I want to have my kids raised by someone that doesn't like Danish.
Really?
I'm now
that
thinking about
you.
It. I don't want to call it a deal breaker, but it's a deal breaker.
You realize, though, that if you remove her from the equation, then you have to raise the children on your own.
But my life's never going to be the same.
Right.
Well, I figure I could find somebody who loves Danish, a heavy-set woman from Eastern Europe. To me, no better way to start that morning than a piece of Danish in a cup of coffee. It's bad for you, so you can't really do it. But if I could do it, if I was pregnant and needed to add calories to my diet, I would start with two Danish. The people that don't have a sweet tooth, my wife's one of these people, drive me nuts.
Yeah, that creeps me out when somebody has a huge Hershey bar in their refrigerator for 6 months.
Yes.
Who does that?
I don't know. I don't know the people that have the stuff sitting around. You know, they open the thing of Girl Scout cookies, and it's been open since Girl Scout cookie season, and it's now September, and it's still, you still haven't gotten around to it? How does it work? What do? Eat a quarter of a cookie a night and then just go to bed?
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian. Here's the good news, though. You've just given me an idea for a new list. Breakfast pastries. Danish. You got Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Donuts.
This is going to be huge.
Spellbinding.
Oh, eating the pastry. She only eating the tiramisu.
Forgot to bring, but he brings tiramisu. he brings a box of pastry and then another box filled with tiramisu. She eats one of the tiramisus on Friday, but there's two. So I have to stare at the tiramisu in one part of the fridge and the box of pastry throughout the entire weekend, and I can't touch either one of them. Well, Ozzy, please.
Temptation.
Yeah, get her to eat it then. Here's the deal. The next time you bring food over, you stand over her and you yell, eat, and you don't leave until she... And then you do that thing where... That prison thing where she opens her mouth. And you're looking around. All right?
Okay, sir.
All right, Ozzy.
No worries.
Go in the other room and have a piece of Danish. We got to talk to Rocky Delgadillo. Okay. All right, where are we? Rocky?
Hey, Adam.
How are you, Rocky?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
We had your arch nemesis, Jerry Brown, on Friday.
Good.
I don't mind Jerry Brown, but I got to tell you, he dodged a few of my tougher questions. So,
okay.
I'm looking for a little more candor.
No problem.
Your vote is still out there to be had.
It is out there.
Okay,
yes.
Good, good, good.
Me and my sizable audience. Now, the election is tomorrow?
It is tomorrow, June 6th.
And it is between you and former Governor Jerry Brown, yes?
Correct.
Here's one of the things I'd like to know about, and you tell me if it's within your power to change this, but left turn arrows in this city of ours.
Yes.
Why do they ever turn red when the light is green at the same intersection? When the light is green, why does the arrow need to turn red? How about it goes from green to nothing, so you just turn when it's safe? Why sit there waiting to be T-boned by a drunk driver when, in fact, you could turn left?
Well, actually, what they're changing now is they're allowing you to turn left on a left arrow. Actually, they'll have it be a flashing yellow one.
Right. But why even design them in the first place to do that?
Right.
The second, here's what I'm saying. I'm interested in getting the city moving.
Yeah, so am I.
You are?
Yeah.
And do other people you work with share that interest?
I'm not so sure, but, part of the reason why I'm in government is to try to change the bureaucracy that has slowed us down for many, many years. And
I have found that I went out on a drive to Malibu yesterday and passed those electronic freeway signs that just say click it or ticket.
Yeah.
That's all it said. Now, of course, people slow down to read the click it or ticket, but it doesn't serve to move anyone by any faster. Let me just ask
you
this.
Who brought those signs was former Governor Jerry Brown.
Oh, let me just say something, Rocky.
Sure.
I know this is your time, but I want to tear my eyelashes out every night. I used to do Loveline out of Culver City, and I would get out of Loveline at midnight.
Yes.
And I would drive home on the freeways. Freeways were wide open. I'd take the 10 to the 110 to the 170 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And half the time they would be doing repairs and the freeway would be closed. And you couldn't get from the 10 to the 110 and you'd get diverted through essentially wherever the Crips and the Bloods hang out, right down the middle of Crip or Blood Street in the middle of the night. Now, meanwhile, I would pass three of those electronic billboard signs that said nothing of the freeway being closed. Just click it or ticket, but not the goddamn freeways closed in front of us. Those things must cost $10 million a pop, yet they serve nobody, they have no information, and they have not been used, and they've been up since the 84 Olympics.
Well, again, you can thank Jerry Brown for those times.
How come...
That's a good tactic. Everything is
That's
Jerry
good.
Brown.
That's
exactly.
Good. Yes, what about AIDS? Is that something he brought here?
I don't think so.
Avian flu?
How about something that just says on that thing, instead of click it or ticket, And by the way, here's my thing with Click It and Ticket and all the PSAs in general. We have something in our car that audibly sounds when we don't put our seatbelts on. We also have buzzers and lights that go off when we don't put our seatbelts on. Why do we need to be reminded to do something that our car already reminds us to do many miles ago? I will ask you this. And how about motivational stuff like focus? Let's go. Or play like champions. You know what I mean?
I'm all for that, actually. I think we need a little bit more motivation.
Yes, get a guy on there who runs like a... You know the guys who run the scoreboards at the major league ballparks?
Yeah.
You know, home run or let's do the wave or whatever. Get the guy programming that on those boards. I would love one that said focus. Maybe, or one that just said...
the organ.
Yeah, let's go. Or, yeah, pipe in organ music. Bum, 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 bum.
No, you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. We need a lot more motivation, and certainly... our cars do remind us to put our seatbelts on, but some people out there need a little bit more reminder than that.
Let me ask you this. If the guy is ignoring the buzzer and the light in his car, do you think he's just going to get 10 miles from his house, see it written up on the board, and go, you know what? You won me over.
Maybe a mariachi band.
Yeah, he's putting his belt on at that time?
Maybe of course, not that time, but maybe the next time he will.
Well, let me ask you this, Rocky.
Sure.
If your pants came equipped with a buzzer that sounded off when you didn't put the zipper up.
Right.
So you went to the bathroom, you did your tinkle, and then you never put your zipper up. Beep, 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 beep. You never put it up. You said, "Know what? I'm ignoring the sound. There's a red light flashing. I'm not going to bring my zipper up."
Right.
And then I walked through town with my zipper down, but eventually I saw a sign that said, "Put your zipper up." You think I'd do it then?
You might.
That's my point. You guys just waste our money. You do nothing, and then you get Donald Trump to do another PSA on secondhand smoke. What is up with this city? Why is our city so crappy? Why is it so ugly?
I don't know. I mean, there are parts of it that certainly need some help.
I'll
agree with you, but there's some great people that live in this town.
Yeah, there's three of them, and they're quickly moving out of town. What's with all the graffiti? You understand when you drive down the freeways in Los Angeles, you have to look at barbed wire surrounding the freeway signs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that movie Escape from New York?
Yeah.
This is what it looks like. You know these Orwellian things like
right.
In 2010, Los Angeles becomes a maximum security. The idea that you're driving down the freeway and you're seeing the razor wire, the spools of razor wire around the freeway signs.
Yeah, it's offensive to me, too.
Not a bad sign?
It's offensive to me.
You think they have that in Seattle?
No, I don't know if they do or not. But
well, who's doing all the graffiting then, Rocky? And how come it never comes up? How come it's just Click It or Ticket?
Well, we do. I'm not sure the graffiti vandals will actually look at those freeway signs or actually even get on the
street. But here's what I'm saying in general. Why does everything seem to be aimed toward the people I don't care about? The taxpayer. Look, if you want to smoke, go ahead and smoke. If you don't want to wear your seatbelt, don't wear your seatbelt. But goddamn forbid we bring up anything about the Taggers.
Well, I do.
Smoking sucks.
I do take on the Tigers here in Los
Who's
Angeles.
Taking them on? What's going on? And does it turn into a racial thing? Is that the problem?
It's not a racial thing. What we're doing.
Well, it's not until somebody brings it up and figures out who's doing it, then it's a racial thing.
I don't know. Look, for me,
everyone's scared to bring it up.
Having grown up on the East Side, I'm not afraid to bring it up because I grew up with it and I didn't like it there and I don't like it now and I don't like seeing it on our freeways and I don't like seeing barbed wire around signs. So.
Well, what are we going to do about it and how come we don't do anything about it?
What's the penalty for tagging?
Evidently. Danish. Ozzy brings Danish to your house.
Here's what I do. I do prosecute them. When we catch them, by the way, I don't put them in jail.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. We have 1,000 cameras at every intersection,
right,
so we can catch and prosecute law-abiding people that may run a tenth of a second late through an intersection.
Right.
We seem pretty good at catching those people.
Right.
Oh, we got high-tech surveillance. How about we apply some of that toward the taggers? How about putting a camera on some of these things that get tagged all the time? We bust these people. How come I never see those cameras?
I do have them. I have them in MacArthur Park in the Pico Union area of Los Angeles. We put them up in...
MacArthur Park. I don't care if someone wants to bake a cake out in the rain. I'm talking about... Little reference there.
We have one out in South L.A. and parts where there have been a lot of tagging, and we actually use the cameras, and they've been very effective.
Okay. How about a little shoot-on-site action, or how about some rewards? I mean, if these guys are getting out and tagging freeway signs, there must be 100 cars that pass under these guys. I'm sure they do it at 3 a.m., but there's still cars that pass under and see these guys. How about something that says, here's a phone line you call? You got your... Oh, it's a good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm a genius. Am I smart or is everyone in our city stupid? Here's all I'm saying.
You're smart.
Ooh, I like you. You just got my vote. But yeah. what I'm saying, Rocky, is can't we prioritize?
Yes, we should prioritize.
What about something that says on that freeway sign, look, call 1-800-TAG-OR-STOP or whatever, however it works out numerically. Probably
it has
didn't
to rhyme,
work it out.
I think.
Yeah,
we have some of those on our buses. We have some. We have a small advertising campaign.
Yeah, it's nothing. Nowhere near what secondhand smoke is for all the folks who don't smoke. Right, sure, that's huge. How about something that says, if you're driving down the 101 at 4 a.m., you're driving a truck, and you see some guys climbing around on the sign there, you call this number, we'll have a guy in there, and boom, done.
That's a good idea. Good idea.
Genius. And then the other thing is when are we going to start penalizing people that are wrecking the 911 thing for all of us who never call it? The guys who have multiple phone calls in for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, it's a worthwhile...
How about it?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I had a house. I lived in Sherman Oaks for a while. Huh? And I had old neighbors who liked to call the cops for everything. I had them call the cops once when our phone lines got crossed. I had them call the cops once on a New Year's party where the cops showed up at 9:45. I think you were there, Damashek, and then showed up again after midnight. But the idea that it's a New Year's Eve party and the cops got called, you know, they take an hour to get to the house. They must have got called at 8:45 or 8:50 the night of New Year's Eve to come over and bust a party that hadn't even gotten started.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. They're not being penalized for picking up the phone.
Well, since you moved, though, they don't call anymore.
Well, that's a good point, but here's my point. You just lost my vote. Okay. Here's my point.
You're in the hole now.
If I'm old and nutty, or just nutty and nutty, and I decide I want to use the cops to F with my neighbor, then I can call 911 and get the cops to show up at my neighbor's house to turn down their stereo because they're hanging around the pool on a Sunday and the stereo's too loud, instead of going over, knocking on the door and asking them to turn it down, or just turning on some music of my own or putting some earplugs or whatever. How about the frivolous use of the cops? And isn't that why 911 is busy half the time you call it?
Well, actually, we do pursue those who are making frivolous calls. And actually, if you think that's happening, you should let us know.
About a fine for those people?
Well, there is actually. If they call one too many times, actually on your alarm, there's a fine after a...
Yeah, that's your alarm. That's not you calling 911. That's me with the Ozzy setting off my alarm and you guys finding me.
But actually, we will pursue those people who are abusing the 911 system.
I'm just saying, a little less with the click it and the ticket and 55 arrive alive. Let's get the town moving.
Yeah, exactly.
How about the fact that nobody knows it's legal to turn right on a red in California? How about you make that an awareness campaign? What about that? Don't you think we can get this town moving
Alan's been helping us do that for years. I think we need to get the town moving. I think we need to provide inspiration. You're providing a lot of it, and I thank you for that.
All right. Well, now you have my vote again.
Keep providing.
All right, Rocky, I'm going to vote for you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Thank you. If I can have my assistant vote for me. She can vote for me, right?
Right.
I think that's how it works. For celebrities, I think you're allowed.
Yeah,
I'm not going to slum it down at the, whatever, old man's garage down the street with the flag hanging out in front of it. It's so sad.
Yeah, your schedule's full. Before the day before your children are born, you have to go see The Omen.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm going to have, let's see if I can get my assistant to vote for me and take jury duty for me and also raise my children. We'll take ourselves a little break coming up. Bishop Don Magic One, you know, green is for the money, gold is for the honey, he likes to say. Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos, big show for him last night. He was all over it.
Hanging on to life last we saw him.
Yeah.
Ozzy's going to review The Breakup, which I saw as well. Also, Bill Rancic from The Apprentice. The first one, the good-looking guy, Teresa Smitten.
Yeah, beautiful little teeth.
Heart bubbles coming out of her head. We'll be right back after this.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar. Porque le falta, porque no tiene marihuana que fumar. Cricket, cricket, la cucaracha.
There's more coming up.
Hell yeah.
The Adam Carolla Show.
De junio, porque cantando se alegran celito lindo los corazones.
No moments. Gary, he's, you know, every guy who heads a mariachi band is named Gary. Or at least claims to be named Gary. He's from Party Time Entertainment. They're our mariachi band. We liked having him in during Cinco de Mayo, so why not Cinco de Junio? Or Juno, or whoever you want to pronounce it. All right, where is we? Bishop Don Magic Juan, one of my favorites. Hung out with him doing the man show. Went and, went into his apartment on the west side one day about 3 years ago, me and Kimmel. It was a funny thing where there was Bishop Don Magic Juan, there was Snoop Dogg, there were about eight Soul Brothers playing Grand Theft Auto and enough reefer to get a Continent Stone, and Jimmy and I walking into the apartment and having everyone do that thing where it's like the record zoop, and everyone just looked at us, and Jimmy and I standing there wearing checkered shorts, sort of like when they went and saw Otis Day in the night over an Animal House. Hey, my main man, how's it shaking low? It was like, there's no context or anything. The camera hadn't showed up yet. We'd showed up there early and just walked into the apartment. Everyone was, it was, and they were getting baked. They were eating like Popeye's chicken. I mean, it was literally like smoking weed and having a catfish fry in Don Magic Juan's living room. Place just reeked of grape soda and catfish and weed. And they're all just sitting there in the middle of the day, middle of the week, just getting baked and playing Grand Theft Auto. And Jimmy and I were just standing there, clearly not man show fans. Although some of them recognized Jimmy from Win Ben Stein's Money.
Of course.
So we've hung out. We've made the rounds with Don Magic Juan. Got into his Cadillac and into his Snoop DeVille. I remember Snoop that day was particularly angry and said that Cadillac had done away with a Snoop DeVille. He'd done away with the Snoop DeVille thing, and that he was PO'd at Caddy putting the kibosh on his Snoop DeVille idea, and then told me, you know what? Screw Cadillac. I'll go to another car company like GM. And I didn't have the heart to explain to him that Cadillac was owned by GM or vice versa. Oh. Yeah, he should have said Volvo. And then Jimmy got very baked. This is right before, right when the deal was going down for ABC. Jimmy got very baked and explained that he wanted a Cadillac thrown in on his ABC deal. That would be a sweet power move. You know, not only when I sign that contract, whatever I get a year, whatever the terms of the deal are, I want a Cadillac tossed in on top of it, old school style. And then called our agent stoned and said, uh-oh, look, I am not kidding. I want this. And Snoop was laughing and I was egging him on. I don't think he ever did get that Cadillac, but it seemed like a great idea at the time.
Can I say this, which is good news? You know, it'll be sad when Ace goes off to spend time with his newborns. But Jimmy Kimmel himself, the aforementioned Kimmel, will be filling in for you a day or two this coming week.
Yes, I have mixed feelings about him.
Really?
You know?
Could
I
just be too good.
I don't want America to fall in love with him.
Right. Well, like you said to me, sprout one wing.
That's right.
Two.
Fly, but fly in a circle. Sprout one. Yeah, this is how we feel about Teresa and her upcoming six episode summer special. 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, June 12th.
ABC?
Yes.
We'll be looking at that. Again, some success.
Well,
I wish some success. I wish you moderate success
on
it. I don't want to see you humiliated.
The same woman that came up to you this morning in our communal kitchen area to give you the scare about the kids are coming, that same woman came up to me and said, I saw the promos for your show. is it going to be good? And I was like, I don't know. I hope so. You know, she goes, well, I mean, it better be.
The night that show's on, a lot of tough competition.
In about 4 seconds, my spirit was crushed.
Your life will never be the same. Scary.
Scary. If that
very
thing
scary.
Fails.
Adam, you don't need to worry about me doing any network primetime shows.
Oh, no, Dave, knock yourself out.
He's been staying up nights.
One wing, baby.
You want one wing only.
So Kimmel is coming in here, and the good thing about Kimmel is it's not like you're taking Jim Belushi or some guy who does sitcoms and then or a nightclub act or something and telling him to do 4 hours of morning radio. Jimmy was forged in the fires of morning radio. Mm. That's where he got his start, probably 19 years old, somewhere in Arizona, and that's where I met him. So he knows morning radio. Let's hope not too good. But he'll be in here putting his spin on things starting Wednesday when I'm off at the hospital. I found out yesterday, by the way, I thought to myself, you know, all I dream about is sleep and death. Those are my two things that I really think I focus most on. Like, wow, the ultimate nap, death. This is going to be great.
A dirt nap.
A never-ending dirt nap. No birds chirping. No garbage trucks. Beep, beep. Nothing backing up. No click it or ticket. Just a forever nap. And I look forward to it. But I also look forward to the actual sleep that then... I look at it as training for death. I look at sleep.
Right, it's a mini death.
It's a mini death. It's between a 6 and 8 hour death. To me, this is just training for the real experience of death. That's all this is. I try to nap when I can, and I thought to myself, "Ooh, kids giving birth, and wife's giving birth on a Wednesday. No kids coming on. No work on Wednesday. I'll be able to sleep in." Keep my death training going. Wife announced, I said to my wife, yeah, what time do we need to be at the hospital Wednesday? 5:30.
A.M.
In the evening? Yeah. 5:30 in the morning.
That's before you get to work, actually.
That is before. So there I go. The best laid plans. Where were we? We were going to play a little something. Perhaps Jimmy will play it when he's in here as well. This is called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. There's things in life you hear about, you never really explore them. There's boring ones. But to me, even the boring ones, the ones that aren't funny, are sort of interesting. The little tidbits, the things about Mark Twain. Well, you know Mark Twain's name is Samuel Clemens, but did you know his name was named for marking the twine? And that's the twine they would hang off the riverboat to see if they didn't hit a sandbank to see what the depth of the water is. So they'd yell, like, Mark the Twine, and I guess he got Mark Twain out of that. We all have them. The good news is everyone seems to know their own, and they don't seem to commingle. I like, you know, once in a while you hear about a band name, and that's interesting. If you're, how did that band get its name, like Three Dog Night? Three Dog Night got named, Three Dog Night's a very cold night in the Arctic. You bring all your three dogs into your little igloo, your shelter with you, and get the warmth from them. That's a Three Dog Night. You have any tea? Do you have any, Dave?
Yes, I have one. I did not know this, and forever I've been seeing, you know, when you watch CNN or MSNBC or any news show, you often hear people use the word snafu. Mm-hmm. There was a snafu in the plans, and...
Snafu!
Until recently, I was working on a news show, and the producer told me, you may never, ever use that word. And I was like, why? And he said, look it up. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up and found that it was an acronym used by soldiers during World War II. And actually, the F is a bad word because it means, which I won't say it, but it means situation normal, all effed up.
Right.
So if you actually say snafu, you're implying a bad word.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Foobar.
The precursor, yes, of course, to the great Stallone picture with Kurt Russell. Tango and Cash, FUBAR, where they introduced that.
Oh, they introduced FUBAR?
I believe so.
I saw it introduced in Saving Private Ryan.
FUBAR? 10 years at least after the fact.
Is effed up beyond all recognition.
Right, okay.
But there's a lot of stuff. That's why you got to play the game. Like, right. I think jerry-rigged, which should be a racial slur. The Jerrys were the Germans, and jerry-rigged,
right,
which now means sort of sloppily putting something. If your antenna breaks off on your car and you replace it with a coat hanger and some duct tape, that's jerry-rigging something. They also have a rig that starts with an N. You gotta work construction, baby.
Oh.
They just put the N word in front of everything.
Meaning it's sloppily done?
Yeah, there's N-rigging this, even everything. It's time to break for, it's time for end break lunch. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, well, yeah.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Yeah, jerry rigging is sort of
a German.
It's a German thing. Yeah, I guess it would mean if something was jerry rigged, it might mean booby trapped.
Okay, you
in World War II, you don't enter the building. The door could be jerry-rigged by the fleeing Germans. But we got Three Dog Night. What else do you got?
Well,
Mark Twain.
First of all, if any listeners have any, they should call in.
That's my point. 866-901-ADAM.
Something we don't know. Another one is that's always questioned is Hoosier. You know, I went to Indiana University, and people say, what's a Hoosier?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, the story is there was a businessman in Kentucky just across the Indiana border, and he would bring in workers from Indiana. They would cross the border. Mm-hmm. The guy's name was, I think, John Hoosier.
Mm-hmm.
His last name was Hoosier either way. And so the people who crossed the border to do work for this Kentucky businessman came to be known as Hoosiers.
And that's why the Indiana
not interesting
folks
or funny. Just
yeah, no, you know, no kidding. You have one, Brusket?
Yeah, you know, I always thought this until I looked it up, but the word hooker came from the Union General Joseph Hooker, mm-hmm. who I guess was a liberal type of general and let prostitutes hang out with the army. And so
the hookers would hang out with the GIs!
So everyone would say, yeah, there's hookers, girls, and whatever, and that's where hooker came from, and I've been telling people that for years, and I just looked it up, and apparently that's not the case, because in 1845, which of course was before the Civil War...
Sure.
Hooker really just meant the person who hooks or snares clients.
And it sounded like that to me, but then it's also a name. It's a good last name, by the way, Hooker.
John Lee?
Yeah, anything works in front of Hooker.
But by the way, Bruska just provided us with one that was not true.
Right.
Did you know this falsehood?
Yes.
Well, do you have any other myths you'd like to share with us?
All right, let's see. We have Kick the Bucket on here, RJ.
Oh.
RJ. Oops, I just locked off RJ. Let's try it again. RJ.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. You want to tell us about Kick the Bucket?
Yeah, Kick the Bucket is, well, of course, replies when you die, but it came from the slaughterhouses. What they would do is they would take a hook and string the cows up by the feet, their back legs, and their neck is, or their head is hanging on this, you know, downward, and they're hanging from this tripod. They stick a bucket under the cow's head, slit their throat, and they catch all the blood into the bucket. And cows, sensing their impending doom, would oftentimes thrash around on this thing and kick the bucket right before they died.
So that's where Kick the Bucket comes from.
That's right.
All right. Bad connection, but okay. I also... and then there's ones that are, well... possibly even more boring than the Hoosier one. But there's a little they don't have to be like idioms or sayings or anything. There's just little things that are interesting, like the diesel locomotives, for instance. They used to have the steam-powered locomotives. Now they're all diesel locomotives, but they're really electric locomotives. The diesel only is a generator to power big electric engines. Maybe a little technical, but it's all the trains you see going up and down are electric trains. The diesel part, just the generator for the electricity. Thank you. Oh, here's someone with one I do know. Dave?
Hello?
You got one?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Rule of thumb. Rule of thumb comes back in the early 1900s and before. Husbands were allowed to beat their wives with a stick, but the stick was not allowed to be any larger than the circumference of their thumb.
Wow. Wish I had a time machine. Yeah. Went from rule of thumb to pee whipped in just about 100 years. So sad. So pathetic. All right. Thank you for that. Well, we'll try one more here. Dave?
Yeah, how's it going?
Tell me something I didn't know.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I had heard that the name Steely Dan came from the name of a sex toy.
Yes, I did know that. Who else knew that?
I didn't
Everybody?
Know that.
No? Well,
I
T,
didn't
you
know.
Didn't know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could probably do a whole one just on band names, because it's always interesting how they got... My favorite is, like, Better Than Ezra, just because there was a band called Ezra out there, and they were going to sue... Better Than Ezra, who was just called Ezra too, so they just named themselves Better Than Ezra. I love those kinds of stories.
Also, people happen to think that Maverick, the deaf frat guy, mm-hmm. that his frat name came from, you know, Top Gun. That, you know, Tom Cruise's character.
His name, yeah.
Yeah, they assumed that. That right. is incorrect. It's in fact that he wears his hair, some said, you know, in the frat house, they wears his hair like Dallas Mavericks guard Brad Davis from the 80s.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's how he got to be Maverick, yes.
I thought everyone just assumed that. Dennis?
Yeah.
What do you have for us?
Honky.
Honky.
Yeah.
All right.
You know?
No, I don't know what honky comes from.
Well, this is what I've heard for years, that white guys first started going down the black neighborhoods, obviously in automobiles, honking a horn at the black prostitutes. Voila, honky, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about a gift horse in the mouth?
Yeah, I do know that one.
Yeah.
Why check it for gum disease?
No, that's they tooth them to tell their age. That's how you can tell a horse's age by looking at the length of certain teeth.
I also heard you were checking for a hoof and mouth disease.
I don't know about that, but
we'll have to. Thanks. Do you have kids?
Right on.
How much do they hate you?
Yep.
I can tell when there's a hateful parent. I'm trying not to end up like Dennis. Well, let's now a little controversy now. Checking the age of the horse by looking at its tooth versus checking
it
for
both, actually.
Hoof or mouth disease. The point is you got a free horse. Don't complain.
Right.
Know what I mean? It's like someone giving you, I guess it'd be like if someone gave you a free car and you said, well, I'm going to go check the odometer. Why? It's a free car. Who cares if it has 100,000 miles on it? All right. That is how you play Tell Me Something I Don't Know. T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, we got Sopranos, we got Oprah's vagina, and we have Jennifer Aniston.
Perfect. All that and sports coming up after this.
Ay, 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 ay. Teresa hates Dave because he made her cry. Yeah, 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 yeah. Dave made Teresa cry.
Can't get enough? Check out Adam on the web at adamcarolla.com.
I never got past high school math, so I'm not sure what pi is exactly, but any equation that involves dessert... in for.
Adam will never run out of opinions. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, vamos a ver. Bishop Don Magic Juan. Donde está Bishop Don Bajito? Coming up right now, Frank. Frank Vincent. Felipe Phil from The Sopranos. The Ozzy Reviews. The Breakup. Ozzy Reviews. The Breakup. Coming up. Bishop Don Magic Juan. Yeah. Vamos a ver el Cinco de Junio.
Sweet. It's Cinco de Junio. Cinco de June for you gringos out there. We brought our mariachi band in studio. Yes, all that is coming up, but first, it's time for Teresa Strasser and the news.
Canadian police foiled a terrorist plot reportedly inspired by Al-Qaeda. 17 suspects were arrested this weekend, according to Canadian officials. The group reportedly acquired 3 tons of ammonium nitrate, which is about 3 times the amount of the fertilizer used to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma. That's a lot of explosives.
I don't want to freak anybody out, but I don't understand why this hasn't happened 100 times already. Why with... You can rent a panel truck on any corner. The explosives are made by just fertilizers, you know, basic materials. You buy the fertilizer, you put it in the thing, you drive it down to the middle of Hollywood and Vine, and you set the thing off. And if you saw what was done to the Oklahoma Federal Building, one could only imagine what it would
be. 3 times that.
Right. Well, God bless him.
Permission to freak out.
Well, it seemed like if someone was buying a lot of ammonium nitrate and they didn't appear to be any kind of farmer, that might be a red flag.
Well, it is true. Like, you can't go in and buy 3 Robotussins from the same supermarket without being arrested. Oh, yeah. See that? Big brother. I say, big brother, get out of our life. Let people buy as much. But, hey, what if I have a farm? Huh? Or maybe I just like manure.
Right.
That should be my business. Keep Big Brother out of my manure ammonium nitrate buying. Keep him out. That's what I say. Get Big Brother out. I don't want him listening to my cell phone conversations. I don't want to listen to my computer. And if I want to buy fertilizer, I should buy as much fertilizer as I want. Get him out. Big Brother.
By the way,
I agree with the left. Get him out.
Board Up Bill made the point to me this morning that Canada busted these 17 guys without ever listening to their phone calls that we know of.
Right. But I'm sure they treaded on a few of the civil liberties that we hold so sacred in this country. I'm sure they didn't have a search warrant when they kicked in the guy's apartment door. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
In entertainment news, last night was the Sopranos season finale. The show will not be back until January with its 8 final episodes. Here, Christopher comes clean about his affair with the real estate agent who Tony almost hooked up with earlier in the season.
T, is something I should tell you. The real estate agent.
Yeah?
I've been
See, I knew some was going on. Why the did you lie to me?
I wasn't sure how it ended with you two until you set me straight. It's stupid, right? Point is, I want everything above boards, as always, between you and me.
So I don't give a do what you want with her.
I don't know if he was genuine. What's the ruling on that? Can you get with somebody who your friend was with, but
well,
not really with?
Not yes, yes you can. You don't. Sheck's not ready to go down to the field, but Sheck says no. Here's the thing: if your friend slept with her, there's a weird thing, which is when you start sleeping with somebody that your friend used to sleep with.
Right.
At first, you stole his woman.
Right.
But eventually, if you guys stay together, then your friend banged your girlfriend.
Right. So
it's an interesting
long enough,
twist.
Right.
At first, that guy's PO'd and the joke's on him. But
right.
If you guys stay together for longer than like 4.5 months, then the joke's on you.
Oh,
at first, you're sorry.
Irony.
Like, hey, buddy, I'm sorry, but I'm the cock of the walk and I got your woman now and I'm making sweet, sweet love to her. Eventually, a year goes by and you guys show up at the Christmas party and that's Kurt, the guy banged your lady.
He's the bad guy now.
He's the guy banged your lady. You're not the guy banged his. I don't know when the over-under is. It's about 4.5. Well, you know what? It changes from town to town.
Here in L.A.
2 weeks.
2 weeks till that guy's...
You go to Iowa, it's like 3 years. But the point is eventually the guy you screwed over because you had sex with this girl, he's the guy who banged your lady.
I, for the record, and I've debated this subject with a number of fellows. My personal opinion is I would never, ever, not out of respect for my friend, would never been where one of my friends has been. It just out of disgust.
Right.
It would be too gross.
Well, would it depend on the guy?
No.
But, okay.
I mean, is it worse? Yes. If Brusco was there before me, then actual vomiting would take place during the lovemaking session.
Okay, well,
you would use her vagina like an air sick bag.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a tough one for me to shake. All right. It was Casual Friday last week on Oprah when, during an off-the-cuff chat with the audience, she polled them about what they call their private parts.
Mm. We're all new.
New-new. You call it.
New-new. It's new-new, and her name's Lavender. My new name's name is Lavender. I didn't expect to share that with 30 million people.
Now, your Nunu has a name.
I wonder where she got that bit.
Must be great to have. Yes.
Thieves!
Must be great to have that captive. Or that audience of just stooges out there hoping they're going to win themselves a Pontiac and laughing every time you inhale. Oprah ought to name hers the piggy bank.
Right.
She's got a lot of money and she's fat.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Well, she actually
clever.
Said, she
Thank
told
you.
The audience, she
Thank
calls...
Thank you, David.
And offensive.
Yes.
Thank you.
She calls hers the JJ. I think that's from Grey's Anatomy. The more you know. Jennifer Aniston finally ended her slump at the box office this weekend when her romantic comedy The Breakup shocked industry experts by pulling in $38 million. That's about $10 million more than anyone expected it to do. It knocked X-Men out of the top spot. And audiences for The Breakup, which was co-written and co-starring Aniston's real-life man, Vince Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
audiences were 67% female, so the women really came out for that.
Mm-hmm. I went and saw it this weekend. And I thought I saw Rob Zombie. I'm almost sure I saw Rob Zombie going into the theater
really?
In front of me. And I thought to myself, ooh, I'm sure Rob Zombie doesn't want to see me asking him what he's doing in this theater. And then I thought, ooh, I sure don't want Rob Zombie asking me what I'm doing in the theater. And we both quietly went our separate ways. We know each other. I've talked to him many times.
A tacit agreement.
We both just look down at our feet. It's like running into your gym coach at the porn store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, hey, Mr. Hurley! No, he's not going to say anything either. It's both understood what you're doing there. It's time just to move along.
Well, Al Gore's documentary about the environment,
mm-hmm.
The Inconvenient Truth, finally broke into the top 10. And actually, per theater... His movie's doing very, very well. It's only in a handful of theaters. Here he is discussing his film.
I see it as an action movie because it's designed to get the audience to take action. We really do have to cross a tipping point beyond which the politicians in both parties will take this and go with it.
It's an action movie.
Sure. Nothing happens, but it's an action movie. I hear it's very disturbing. I'm wondering if I want to see it. I hear it's good and enlightening and all that stuff, but I could see it be very, very depressing.
Oh, how I pray he becomes president.
Well,
he
just announced that he is not going to run in 2008.
I don't understand why he wouldn't. He has no competition,
well,
does he?
Yeah, there's John Kerry. They think he's going to run again. There's John Edwards. They think he's going to run.
The big one is Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary. So those are the three.
And
three
she wouldn't win, and the Democrats know it. That's why they need Al Gore. He's the greatest.
My point is they're all extremely beatable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sort of perpetual under 500 teams you have to play in the playoffs. You're going to beat those teams. Why not throw your hand in the ring?
I say he does run.
I say he grows the beard back
and runs.
Well, yes.
Look,
that's
what he's doing well. He cares about the environment. He's still not as dynamic as you'd want just from that clip.
But if he packed on another 30 pounds and grew a huge Civil War-sized beard and, you know, used a pocket watch and said things like, good day, and sir.
Good day, sir.
My handshake is my bond.
That would make him an effective president.
It would.
Good day.
Well, listen to me. Now, hold on a second.
Yes.
These other countries, you're not dealing with smart people. A lot of these countries we're doing battle with, you're dealing with just insane dictators. You really are. And if they see a guy, this is the problem with certain parts of the Middle East and of Asia as well. When they see guys that they perceive to be as weak, just physically weak, they go, oh, we'll kick their ass. I mean, Saddam just thought that we were wussies. This is in the Gulf War. They don't have the spine. They can't back it up. We get a big, imposing, bearded guy in there, heavy set, jowly guy, who when he squeezes, when he meets, you know, Nip Saying Kook from wherever he's from and squeezes his hand and almost crushes it, good day, sir. He's wearing black boots. He wears cowboy boots, make him about 3 inches taller. He's already 6'2", so he's like 6'5". And all these other guys are shrimps. They're 4'11". He squeezes the hand and turns it a little to the side. You know that power move? Good day, sir. Now they're freaked out, just personally.
Yeah.
Yes?
Maybe in that case, maybe we should elect as our next president Otis Sistrunk.
Be perfect.
I'd scare the bejesus out of everyone
in the
world.
If he could spell his name, I'd say he's in.
Okay, Adam, this last story might be of interest to you. You may have heard that women in the final stages of pregnancy should avoid sex because it causes early labor. Well, according to a study at Ohio State University Medical Center, that is an old wives' tale. Mm. In a study of 93 couples, sex in late pregnancy had no effect on when women went into labor.
Hmm. Yeah, Drew always said it was fine.
Really?
And as a matter of fact, my wife is going C-section, so I may be getting some while the kids are being delivered. You know what I mean?
It is a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? We're in a sterile environment. Why not? I paid a lot of money for this room. I'm going to make my use out of it.
Good day, sir!
It might even be relaxing.
Sure. That's right.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I wish to begin with an apology to everyone in the studio today. I woke up to find out that the hot water didn't work in my home this morning. So I was unable to wash myself as I usually do.
Yeah.
To be fresh and clean.
You have a layer of sebum on you.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Yesterday, it was hot out.
Yeah.
So me and the lady, we headed to the sea.
Uh-huh.
We went to the Pacific.
This is damn exciting
stuff.
And
we lazed.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. We lazed.
Just dynamite.
I wish this would go on.
We lazed in the sun, and I worked up a lather. And then when the time was right, I staggered to the shoreline, and I collapsed into the sea, and I bathed in it. I didn't just wash. You know, you understand, the Pacific doesn't just wash off today's soils and grime, but all of society's poisons.
Yeah.
And so now I'm clean.
It's a baptism.
I may not wash myself for the rest of the week. Now, let's talk national pastime. Halos whipped the Tribe. Athletics dumped the Twinks. Mariners lost to the lowly Royals. Over on the senior circuit, Padres beat the battling Bucks of Pittsburgh, PA. Gigantics over the Mets. Dodgers lost to the Phils in Chavez Ravine. Arizona Snakes stayed red hot. They swept a four-game series against the Braves in Atlanta over the weekend. Hopefully, that went a small way to healing the broken hearts of Phoenix sports. Pirates fans. Of course, on Saturday night, their dreams of a trip to the NBA Finals dashed by the Dallas Mavericks. Looked for a while like the Suns were going to take it to a Game 7, but as has been true the whole series, too much Nowitzki was the result.
Yeah.
Well, Final insult, Mark Cuban jumping around on Phoenix's home floor. That's
Rich,
upsetting.
Young, and obnoxious. Yeah. Nowitzki shoots like 95% from the free throw line. Right.
Yeah, and he's like 7 feet.
Yeah, and whenever I say, why can't Shaq learn to shoot a free throw? They always go, he's 7 foot. He's like 7'1". What do you want? Give him a break. Well, there's a guy who's 3/4 of an inch shorter than he is and shoots about 93%. So say you could get it up higher than 35%, Shaq. No.
Interesting point.
But Shaq has huge mitts.
Yeah, maybe that's it. They say it's his thumb that throws off his shot. It's too long. That's what I've heard.
Ah, interesting insight from Strasser.
It's opposable as well. I think that's really the problem.
Now, the NBA Finals now are set for Thursday, Miami Heat versus Dallas Mavericks. But let me tell you something. You've heard me rail against teams whose nicknames end in something other than S. Mm-hmm. You know how that makes me crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like Orlando Magic.
Right.
There are exceptions like the Red Sox and White Sox. Those are cool names. And in college, you got UMass, Minutemen, Syracuse,
These are team
Orange
names.
Men.
Team
yes.
names,
the
not
team
nicknames.
Right. Nicknames, right. The nicknames of the teams.
Right.
Now, the ones I hate are like the horrific names, like the Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. That's awful. Now, but listen to this. 1903 to 1918, 7 titles won by teams named Sox. No S at the end of their name. Mm. 7 titles. Nothing from non-S-ending name teams, you see, in any of the 4 major sports for 88 years.
Really?
88 years, every team that won a championship, S at the end of their name, until 96, Colorado Avalanche breakthrough with the Stanley Cup.
Right, but, the Avalanche, yeah.
But now dig this. 21st century, yeah. We're only 6 years in.
Yeah.
You've got 2 Stanley Cup champions, the Avalanche again, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Baseball, the last 2 champions, White Sox and Red Sox. I'm saying is bet the ranch on the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it's a very strong point. Another, and we got the 666
right.
coming tomorrow. Now, this very eerie harbinger.
Yes.
Coming up with the non-pluralized Sox thing. It's all over, everybody.
You're right. It's the global, century of S-less teams.
The caps are melting.
Yes.
We have no S's at the end of these words, these team names. It should be pluralized. And now, and now 666, it's all done.
I mean,
it's over.
I put these terrible names down, like Heat, Magic, Wild, but teams keep doing it.
Dave.
And sometimes I wonder if they're not even listening.
Enough.
To me.
Make peace with your maker.
Get your affairs in order.
We'll head down and we'll all watch the sunrise over the Pacific, and that'll be it
if
for tomorrow.
If you can't beat them, join them. Right. And for that reason, I shall heretofore refer to the Pittsburgh Pirates as the nickname they went by during their 1979 World Series team, the Family. The Pittsburgh Family, which coincidentally was when they won the World Series.
Wow, strong.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
How about that analysis?
Nostraboris.
You should think about maybe a class at the Learning Annex just on that.
Just like I could do.
I would pay.
You're talking about taking one.
Yes.
On radio.
Right.
Right. Not actually
right.
presiding over one.
Right. No.
Okay. No, now I agree with you. I was confused. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Bishop Don Magic Juan. Is he here, Brusket? Oh, he's going to teach us all how to turn out a bitch or two. He'll come in. He's America's favorite pimp in studio after this.
Allá en el Rancho Grande, allá donde vivía. Dave better take a shower. Please take a shower. Por favor, you mucho stinko.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show, where everyone is entitled to Adam's opinion.
Kathy Griffin, can we do a little free association with
you
here?
Yes, I love it.
Charlie Sheen.
Wouldn't you be afraid to even be in the same room with him without wearing a hazmat? Like, he's got to be carrying viruses, exotic strains.
You feel like a 30-pound crab could leap from his groin and wrestle you to the ground.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
Hot out there for a pimp. Get hot out there for a pimp. Yeah, he's in here now. The bishop's in here with the doctor. Well, it's hot out there for a pimp. Es un puto que maravilloso, que es muy difícil. Hombre, hombre, ¿qué pasa con el obispo? Yeah, out there for a pimp.
Cinco de Juno.
Oh,
Uno, Juno.
Get our mariachi band in. Bishop Don Magic Juan, it's been too long, my friend.
Oh, man, it's a blessing to be right here. Top of the morning to everybody around here. Church.
Good to see you, Church. Bishop and I have met many times. We were filming a little something for the Man Show where he took Jimmy and I out, got us dressed up, took us to our... To his favorite clothier, took us to his favorite jeweler, got us behind the wheel, and we turned out a couple of hoes.
Oh, man, it was a great show. They said one of the best show that y'all did. Man, it was great. You remember you was telling me, you think we're going to get pulled over with an open chalice?
Yeah. Well, Don Magic Juan is smart. He drinks from a chalice. And I'm sure he drinks pretty much, I think his drink is champagne.
Champagne.
Yeah, champagne. But not Cristal, right?
Oh, no, we like that DP, that Don, and sometime that Moet White Star.
Mm-hmm.
DP, Don Perignon.
That's right.
It's smart, because I'm driving down the street, and I'm drinking a beer, and the cops pull next to you, and they just see you holding a Budweiser bottle, and they pull you over, but they see the chalice, and they figure it's the blood of Christ, or the Sea of Galilee, or something's in there. They don't know what the hell's in there.
Oh, that's royal.
Yeah, smart. You ever get pulled over?
Oh, no, never. You know, one thing about it is they always ask, let me see that chalice. As a matter of fact, Adam, you know, when we did that last show together, you know, I had the chalice. Mm-hmm. I'm blessing you with your own chalice. So
thank
you. Let me know if they happen to pull you over. It's custom made. It's
got
green
my name
and gold.
On it. Yeah, well.
And it's personalized. What's your name, Adam? You know, green is for the money. And
gold is for the honey.
Oh, you own. So I want to present this right here on your radio show.
I don't like to brag, but
pass it around, maybe.
Bishop Don Magic Juan did tell me in confidence that my pimp hand was much stronger.
Is that right?
Well, I was gonna Jimmy ask. Kimmel's. Was Adam a good pimp?
No question about it. I mean, he when we was doing the show and everything, I was giving him the instruction. I mean, Adam was telling Jimmy, "Hey, man, you got to do it like this." Right. And I mean, we walked downtown and we went to the stroll, and boy, they took off, man. I mean, they were definitely pimps in training. They got it to get caught a couple of girls and even ran into the law, and I had to take off.
It is true how it ended. Bishop Don Magic Juan is here because he has himself a compilation CD. These are the best old-school love songs. Nothing better to get down to or with. It is out as we speak. We have one. Let's hear cut four, if we could.
That's what the Archbishop Don Magic Juan do, Jack.
Who's this Bishop Don Magic Juan?
This is, like I said, this is an old school compilation. It is just gentlemen from back in the day, some of the music I used to listen to. And, you know, I want to give it to the people so at this time and age they can calm down. And I talk between each track to give them some good gang and understanding about love and joy. And this is William Devon singing now.
And the proceeds go to Children of the Night?
Yeah, I have donated 10% of the proceeds from this to go to Children of the Night. That's to keep women out of prostitution and off the street. You see, I brought a beautiful young lady in here with me this morning to show y'all that I'm really trying to be not part of the problem, but part of the solution, Lyle. That's why I'm giving 10% from this CD.
So well, now, the lovely woman that you've got with you is not one of your employees, then?
Oh, no. This young lady here is a sprying actress and model, and I have definitely took interest in it because right now I have two TV shows that I'm working on. I have Holding Court, which was greenlighted by New Line Cinema, and also I'm doing the Don Juan Show, and we're looking to have this young lady as an actress in one of the TV shows.
What's your name, sweetness?
Miss Miko.
Miss Miko.
Yeah.
You have a solid D cup there?
Very solid D cup.
Bobby!
Are those natural? Are those real?
Yeah, they are.
Really?
Wow.
I'll tell you.
Gigundus.
You got to see it's just like Charmin.
Really? Squeezably soft, huh?
Yes. Be my guest. Wow.
Now, I don't want to be indelicate, but have the two of you been together?
Oh, no question about it. We came in together. You know, it's early in the morning.
I read you.
You had to turn a hose on them to get them apart.
Oh,
like
no
my dog's doing
about
in the
it.
Yard. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I got 13 years. I was the number one pimp in the country for 13 years before God saved me.
Who does
me
those rankings?
API.
Oh, well, right
the
now,
UPI, I think, does.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Gallup poll.
We had a big players ball every year. You know, they come from all over the country, and we just voted out, man.
I see.
P and UPI do number one pimp. Always some controversy between the votes that the coaches do and then the sports
Ever
writers.
Ever since the BCS got involved with it, it's been garbage. Yet.
Well, you know, we didn't win Oscars, now it's sort of hard out here on the pimp. So, you know, the gang been escalating.
Yeah. Now, what about that, the renaissance of the pimp? I mean, back, you started in the 70s?
That's right, in the 70s.
What, were you in Detroit? Where were you? Where did you get
Chicago.
Started?
I started in Chicago, West Side.
And how old were you?
I was 17 when I started in the gang. And see, what I always express to people is, see, I didn't live next door to no doctor or lawyer. You know, otherwise, I'd have been watching him come out every day with his briefcase. And I'd have been inspired like that. But I live next door to pimps and dope dealers. Every day, I see a pimp or dope dealer come out shower with jewelry on, 3-4 girls, have a shop car. I said, wow, that's my role model. That's how I want to be. And that's what, you know, made it take place. You know, I could have been a car thief, a dope dealer, some of that, but I wanted to be a ladies' man.
Right. So you get started at 17. Soon, you're at the top of the heap. You're the number one pimp in Chicago, right?
No, it went international. You know, I'm international. I'm known in, you know, 3-4 foreign countries.
Right. Well, it's like, if you're the number one pimp in Chicago, you're the number one pimp in the world. That's basically how it is. And not a lot of pimp competition coming out of the Netherlands.
Where Chicago is the home base. You know, you got the Iceberg Slim. You know, it was originated there. So that's home base. New York got a left flavor in it. But Chicago is definitely the motherland for the pimp gang.
And you, so you're number one. When do you come out to L.A.?
I came out to L.A. in 1974.
And you bring the pimp hand with you.
I came all the way with it. It was at the time they had the gas strike going on. When I pull up to the gas pump and I had the girls to get out and pump my gas, I got a little right up in the scoop. They had a little paper called the scoop back in 74.
Sure. Better hoes in Chicago or L.A.?
You got better holes in Chicago. Where L.A. here, they just always had their hand out. They don't believe as much as giving. They like receiving here. You know, you have to teach these women in L.A. to give.
How do you teach them?
Well, you show them that it's the right thing to do. It's fair exchange. There ain't no robbery. You know, if I can take you to the show, at least you can take me.
Well, and how does it break down in terms of sharing percentage. The money? Yeah, profit sharing.
Oh, ain't no sharing. You know, what a pimp do, he take care of the woman, everything. He make, you know, he rest, he finesse, he dress, he buys her clothes, send her to the hospital, feed all the things. You know, all she has to do is get the money.
Mm-hmm. And you just give her whatever she needs for walking around.
Whatever she needs. You take care of all of her basics need, whatever it might be, as long as she's supplying the money.
How many did you have? How many in your stable?
I had seven at one time. That's considered a stable, seven. You know, and we used to stay in one big house
to gaggle
together.
Under that.
I used to sleep in a bed with 6-7 women at a
really?
Time.
Really?
You know? Oh, man, what an amazing thing to happen. You know what I mean? But it was all about the money, not the honey.
Did you ever fall in love with any of your hoes?
Yes, I did. And with each one of them, you got to fall in love with somebody getting your money every day, taking chances on their life out there. I used to have them girls standing 17, 18 hours a day in 50 below zero weather and knee-deep or so with panties and a miniskirt on with a split between it. I was serious about that money, man.
It's going to be nice when they have kids. You know, my dad gave me the story where you used to have to walk through 8 miles of snow just to get to school, but he wanted to learn. They can do the things. You know, when I was hooking, I would be wearing a thong back
mini
and
skirt.
Some stiletto heels standing out in the corner, wind whipping off the lake. Coming in 50 below, I still work.
Right. That's right. And I'm talking about it was profitable. You know, I was Rolls Royce driving, you know what I mean? So it was definitely profitable.
Now, when did you decide to get out? When did you decide to get out from, you know, it's like, I guess, like a player retiring and move up into the broadcaster booth?
Well, you know, it was always that thought about retiring, you know, wanted to do something else, wanted to get the girls and let them work in a brochure or something like that, you know. But then God showed me experience in 1985 that made me reveal that he really do exist. He showed me, you
what
know.
What happened?
It got light and dark in the apartment. God told me that if I didn't get up to girls, I wouldn't have lived another 2 weeks. I mean, it was just an amazing thing that I left California because it happened out here.
Well, what did God do, and were you high?
I definitely were high.
Right.
No. Let me explain it to you. I was getting high, and then God told me to get rid of everything. You know, I'm only a marijuana smoker.
Sure.
Might have smoked a little PCP. I never did any cocaine, heroin, anything like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Never been to any kind of penitentiary. You
well,
know
you
what
look
mean?
Like a straight arrow. I wouldn't even guess that you smoke
marijuana.
No question about
it. You know, but I always tell people, oh, I'm a medical smoker. I'm legal. I got my card right here in my pocket.
Sure. You got glaucoma from wearing sunglasses.
That's right. Glaucoma is good for cancer. Too.
Got hit by a bedazzler.
Hey, for sure. But
look
let me
at
tell
that,
you the
baby.
Story.
Oh,
so God showed me, came back to Chicago, mm-hmm. spent 8 years in a Bible institution, you know, learning the word of God.
So this
Moody.
Is 85 to 93.
85 to 93. I pastored a church, you know. Mm-hmm. I go all over the country. I speak in college. I speak in jails and academies. Speak to different
and,
individuals.
But what happened when God came to you? How do you know?
Well, what happened is, like, it was just an experience that I never experienced before. You know, when I didn't believe, I told people I didn't believe because I was seriously about that.
Right.
But God, just like I said, came into the apartment, got lighted, got dark. And another thing, it was a television show on where it was a minister on, and he said, I see somebody had just got saved. It was like somebody confirming something.
He was looking into the camera saying, I see you out there, like Hobo Kelly used to
like
do with the birthdays.
It was like he was speaking to me. I mean, it was amazing. I never experienced anything like it before, and I definitely wouldn't have gave up the game because I still was three deep, and I was like, you know, down like four flat tires. You know, it was going on.
I will say this about Bishop Don Magic Juan. I've been to his apartment over here on the west side. He's the only guy I know who has a custom Cadillac Eldorado, a custom Bentley, and rents. You don't see
right.
a Bentley. You don't see the green and gold Bentley or Rolls Royce parked out in front of the apartment building that often. It's just not a man. Most guys, I would venture to say that 99% of the guys who drive a Rolls Royce drive it to a home, not to a apartment. But I like that. You show range, although we got to get you into a condo, Bishop Don Magic Juan.
Well, that'll be a beautiful thing. You know, I need more room. I'm looking for space now, not because I need more space to sleep. I need room for my clothes.
Yeah.
Man, I'll be putting stuff in the cleaners just so they can hold it for storage, man. I need room.
Yeah, I've seen his closet.
Do you have a seizure just looking at all the colors?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man, my closet is just like the crayon box. I mean, all the colors, the 48 pack, man.
Yeah, it's all in there in the bed. He's got a wonderful bed set. It's a beautiful black lacquer, leather everywhere. It was quite an experience. Kimmel and I, you know, nothing sexual, but we did lie down on the bed when we were in there and watch a little TV. Yeah. I remember that.
Put on some custom-made shoes. You remember the rainbow shoes?
Sure. Who could forget? You still hanging out with Snoop?
No question about it. We just finished doing the movie. Well, it's out now called Bossin' Up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a player movie. You know, it's a pimp musical. And, you know, show the game. Snoop is, you know, playing the lead role in it. I'm doing some things in it. Also, you know, I got this new sneaker deal. I just sent them to get it. I just signed a deal with America. I designed it my own sneaker.
Sneaker?
Yeah, the gym shoe.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the candy bar.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You know,
the sneaker.
Yeah, America. I designed it for America. I'll be heading to Paris. I'll be heading to Paris Wednesday. They're going to unveil my new sneaker
They called,
in
like,
Paris.
Air One or something? What, they got a good name for it?
Especially made for
pimping?
Yeah,
it's Bishop.
The Bishop.
Yeah, it's green and gold, got gate on it. They on their way up here with the shoe. Now, I definitely got the show.
Oh, okay, well, we'll get that. We need to take ourselves a quick break. Bishop Don Magic Juan in studio. Green is for the money, gold is for the honey. Volume 1, it's a compilation, best old school love songs. And 10% of the proceeds going to Children of the Night, so it's a worthy cause. We're going to bring Jerron. We have a black intern, Jerron, although you couldn't tell by the way he dresses, by the way he talks, by anything. We're looking to make his pimp hand a little stronger. So when he comes in, after we come back from the break, maybe you can give him some tips.
Going to help him step his game up.
Bishop Don Magic Juan, we'll be right back with him after this.
Get out of there for a pimp. Get hot out here for a pimp. Pimp pumps, magic don't want. Out of there for a pimp.
The Adam Carolla Show. If you're going to wake up with a strange, hairy man, it might as well be him.
If you told me when I was 15, hey, you can just talk to people all day long on the computer, ask them anything you want, I probably would have done it. Only problem is you cannot text a handy. Hold on, let us laugh for a minute.
Stick around. Headed your way, more on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, this is Doc Bishop, Don Magic Wand, chairman of the board of famous players everywhere. It's going down in this new millennium. Yeah, Amateur Rocker took a chance on a player, you dig? You always said you wanted to get inside my head.
Bishop Don Magic Wand in the studio. Don't believe he's the greatest pimp ever? How about 13 consecutive Pimp of the Year honors? You don't go 13 in a row unless you're something special.
That's not a fluke.
Unprecedented.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, man. I mean, it wasn't an easy thing to do. I know a lot of players want to do it. I made it look easy, but it was a job.
John Wooden of pimps.
Yeah. Same man. I'll tell you, my dad has 14 Pimp of the Year awards, but he skipped. He weren't consecutive. He did six, and then in 79,
right.
He lost out, and then he came back again. He always says 13. I always have to point out, not consecutively like
that. Was that
Magic
the national Mon. Pimp or the local?
He was doing it on a local level, though I will say that North Hollywood is a pretty good-sized pimp market. It's not the same as the market.
Well, you know, they always say internationally known and locally accepted.
That is Bishop Don Magic Wand. Bishop handed me one of his new sneakers, the Bishop High Tops. This is beautiful. It's a beautiful shade of, I don't know what green would you call this? I know green is for the money and gold is for the honey,
that's
but what shade
apple,
of green?
That's apple green.
Apple green.
Yeah, custom made, though.
Custom with gold gator skin on it.
Man, I'm just excited about this shoe. Like I said, America, I'm going to Paris this week. I leave Wednesday. They're going to unveil this shoe right in Paris. It's America's 20-year anniversary, and so, you know, I'm excited about this shoe. And this is the first. There's no other pair or pimp or nothing that ever had a shoe made. I'm the first.
Well, let me say a few things. First off, this shit says, oh, really? You can't say boner.
Oh, who's mine?
Oh, I see. Right, well, anyway.
And in that case,
you can't beat me out. That was somebody's name on a show.
On Growing Pains, the guy's name was Boner.
You can't beat us out. That was the character's name, Boner.
Okay. All right. And James Bond, his secretary, was named Pussy Galore.
That's right. A very, very well-known band, the Pussycat Dolls.
Thank you. All right. Where the hell were we? Anyway, Pimp Han, very strong in these shoes. And let me explain something. When you're out on the street, you're turning out hose, you have to have good lateral support. You don't want to turn an ankle.
Right.
That's
out
right.
There.
And great support here.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
You want to be fleet of foot in case the man comes rolling up on you.
Right.
Cops, other pimps causing you trouble. You really, all the things you need out of a good indoor volleyball shoe, you need in a pimp shoe. Yes?
That's right. This is a full-scale shoe. I mean, you can do it all in this shoe. It makes you have a lot of confidence. You'll be able to really walk up to the girl to say, may I?
Yes, mother, may I. It's a beautiful work of art.
I've
also,
got $200 that says I can.
Green is for the money, gold is for the honey, volume one. It's a compilation of old school love songs, the good stuff. The good old days, the stuff you grew up listening to, right?
Well, most of the people said, hey, this is baby making music. So I want to bring it back to this new millennium so the people can get involved and know what was going on in the 70s. Now they can enjoy it in 2006.
And I'm baby making music.
Baby making music.
What's the music for getting married after you make the babies? That's what I'm interested in.
I haven't thought of that one yet.
That's the next compilation to come out. They actually marry the chick you knocked up. I don't want to get into social issues here. Point is Bishop Don Magic Wand, he got off to a rocky start. Now he's doing the Lord's work. 10% of the proceeds going to Children of the Night.
And you know I'm spiritual advisor to, you know, people like Snoop, Mike Tyson, you know what I mean, counseling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I understand that. How does that work and how do I get that gig?
Well, one thing about it, you know, I've been there, done that. They know that, you know. I mean, how to experience most of the thing they trying to experience and things that they are going through. And by giving them the understanding about, hey, it's a new way now, you know, you're grown, you know what I mean? Get some understanding, you know, because you got family, they got kids, you know. And so it's just all about getting that grown-up attitude. And that's what Snoop has took on.
Right. So it's like if you're a drug counselor, you need to have done drugs. You need to have bottomed out. You can't be a guy who's never had a drink explaining to people to get off of heroin. you need to have been there and done that. That's what you're saying.
Some experience about it, or been involved, or been around it. You know, maybe you had a brother, maybe you had a sister, some family member, where you have some advice or some understanding about it. And that's what I do. Counsel, I go all over the world doing that. Adam.
What advice did you give to Tyson last time you spoke to him? Like, quit punching tigers?
No, seriously, just before the last fight, he come by the honeycomb, you know, which you've been by
there. I've been to the honeycomb.
And so me and Mike was talking, and Mike was explaining to me seriously that he still enjoyed the fight game, but he was really tired of training, and he was really tired of really getting all his money away.
Right.
Before he get any, you know, they beat and gave the RS, beat and gave it to the ex-wife, beat and gave it here, and he didn't want to really train no more. And I told Mike, if you don't train, you're not going to be able to take the abuse that they're going to give out. And he understand that now.
All right. The more
good
you know.
Advice.
Yeah, enough with that stupid Donald Trump telling you not to smoke. How about Bishop Don Magic Wand saying, look, train before you take a beating.
Definitely.
Or whatever it is, you know?
You got
it's all
it.
Solid stuff. Well, in the name of good advice, we have our intern, Jerron. Jerron?
What's up, Adam?
All right, don't black it up for me. I want you to talk in your normal voice, Jerron.
Hey, how's it going? Off the hizzle.
We got Jerron on this show because we wanted to add a little flavor to it. You know, we thought, ooh, there's some cayenne pepper. We'll sprinkle a little of it into the stew and it'll zest it up. Turns out it's nothing. He's like jicama, this kid.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Bishop, all you need to know about Jerron. Jerron, please show your footwear.
He wears flip-flops.
Flip-flops!
That can't
a black
be strong.
Man in
we both got flip-flops on.
Yeah, but Don's are encrusted with jewels.
Yeah,
and
that
emeralds.
Say play, they say Playboy in rhinestones.
And, his toenails are painted green and gold. Come on, Jerron.
Well, you know what? He's on it, though. You know what I mean? I met him earlier. He brought us up here. The man got great style. And one thing I like about it, what makes a great player, is he willing to learn.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, why don't you teach him a little something? Like, he's having a little difficulty with the ladies. You know? He doesn't know how to talk to them.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you your first test. You got a beautiful young lady right next to you. What would you like to tell her? Have it your way, you know?
Hey, what's up, lady? Was that a good start?
No. That was weak.
No, that was kind of weak.
That was weak?
Yeah. Come on.
All right, so what are you doing later on tonight?
I don't know yet. What are we doing later on?
Oh, I can go to my place.
Where your folks live?
That place? Oh, we can go to the hood, you know?
The hood, Encino.
Go back up to the honey nest. It's not the honeycomb yet.
It's the honeycomb,
honey nest.
Honey nest.
Yeah.
Well, see, one thing about that's what I say. He got hard. And that's what it is happening in this game. You got to speak up.
He
I tell him, a closed heart, a closed
hard,
mouth,
yeah.
A closed
on,
mouth never get fed. And he willing to speak up.
Mm.
I like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Closed mouth, yeah. Never gets fed, rarely gets punched.
You have to convince, you know, like a runaway you meet at a truck stop to sleep with people and give you all her money. I mean, you got to have a golden tongue to do that.
Well, see, he ain't me. Now, if it was me, I would walk up to her and say, hey, baby, I'm the best thing that can happen to you. Now, who don't want the best that can happen to him?
I do.
See there? You be caught already. We leave that truck stop, live happily ever after. All you got to do is, you know what I mean, take care of that business. I'm going to rest, finesse, and dress, and supply your every need. I'm going to fulfill all the empty spaces in your life. So you ain't going to have to worry about it. All you got to do is take care of your business. I do all the rest.
Will you be my daddy?
I'm going to be your everything. I'm going to fulfill your every desire. I'm going to be your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, and definitely your lover.
How many tricks do I have to turn in a day for you not to beat me?
Well, see, that's one thing about it is, see, it ain't about the beating, you know what I mean? It's by choice, not by force. See?
How many?
And you know what I mean? And it ain't about how many tricks, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can go in one pocket and come up with 10, 15, 20,000.
Really?
And sometimes you go in a pocket and it might have $2 in it, but you got to search the car and you might find a suitcase full of money with $100,000 in it.
Okay.
Now, I'm getting you some good gang now. Don't go try this.
Now, Jerron, do you hear this?
Yes.
Jerron, give that a shot. Lady again after what you've learned.
Hey, what's up, girl? I'm the best thing that can ever happen to you.
Why is that, baby?
Because I'm going to be your mama, your sister, your daddy, your cousin,
Starts as mom and sister.
And your Hebrew school teacher.
And your nephew. I'll be your mom, your sister, your retarded cousin, and your parole officer. At least. Your gym coach.
Well, he's letting her know that he's going to be her everything. She ain't got to look any farther. He got her every desire.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I'll all be your cancer and your three-legged dog. Yeah, don't bring up sad stuff.
All right.
I'll be your accountant.
Yeah, let's try it again. Try it again, Sharon.
What's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, girl? Hey, you're looking good. I'm liking that dress right there.
You like this dress? What do you like about it?
Do you wash it in Windex?
Cuz?
No, wise. Why do you ask?
Because I can see myself in it.
You can see yourself wearing a lady's dress.
I like that. You got style, yeah? Oh, you were supposed to tell us that dress looked good on. Looked like they melted and pulled it on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how good it's fitting.
One more shot, Jerron. Give us one more shot.
What's up, baby? What's going on?
None. Just checking you out.
Checking me out. You like what you see?
Oh, I love what I see. You like what you see too?
It's like Ron Howard. Really trying to turn out a bitch.
It's hard out here for Opie.
It's pathetic.
What I think he should do is say the small talk, go to your wallet, pull out your biggest bill, and it's home.
A 10.
Don't have to.
Let's see what you got. What's the
maybe you can go to
Jerron
Starbucks and get a good cup of coffee.
I got a bank receipt.
Well, what does it say?
Zero in there.
He just like you want a pimp. You got to find us.
How about the Ralph? How about the Ralph Club card on the keychain?
I only have my player's card in here. That's it.
Yeah, more like your bus pass.
Ralph cards say a lot of discount. Go there buy champagne, man. Ooh, man, it's knock off a lot. That card good.
All right, listen, Jerron, get yourself some high tops, a nice chalice, fill it with champagne, and start working on your pimp hand. Would you please?
Yes, I will.
All right, we need to take a break. Bishop Don Magic One, thank you for coming in. Green is for the money, gold is for the honey. Volume one, 10% of the old school grooves going to Children of the Night. God bless you, Bishop.
And about anytime they want to reach out to me, go to www.thebishop.us.
It is a wonderful organization. You get yourself a custom chalice over there. Make some money for the great and worthy organization, Children of the Night. Thank you, Bishop. Say hi to Snoop for me.
What's crack-a-lacking, Snoop, right now? He listening.
We'll take Snoop, if you're listening, come in and pay us a visit. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Frank Vince and Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos after this.
A different event, Phil from The Sopranos. He's the mob guy. Bang, bang, next. Phil from The Sopranos. He's the mob guy. Coming up next.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Glenn Phillips and Dean Denning from Toad the Wet Sprocket. You are listening to Adam Carolla, to whom we just talked. If you need to talk to Adam, Dean will give you directions.
Yes, please call Adam at 866-901-ADAM.
You'll be glad you did.
Walk on the
The Adam Carolla Show.
Now, what I'd love to see is a truce. Put it all behind us. Your brother Billy, whatever happened there.
All right, then.
Whatever happened there?
The shooting.
Whatever happened there? I'll tell you what happened. This piece of cousin
put six
bullets in the kid without any provocation whatsoever.
My cousin's dead.
You. Hey, we were making headway here. I didn't mean to
say what you meant, sucker.
Wow. Got beeped out again. Really, can't say that word. It's the cute word for the erection that sounds sounds like loner. Yes, it's like if you took the word bone and attached it to loner.
Kirk Cameron's best friend on Growing Pains had that name, Loner, but with a B.
That's right.
Loner Bay.
All right, Frank Vincent on the phone. We all watch The Sopranos.
The Shah of Iran itself.
We had a little panic last night over at the Carolla house because we supposed to TiVo it at the 6 o'clock feed, and then we settle in front of the TV about 7:30 and watch it. But somehow it didn't get TiVoed until the 9 o'clock one, and an argument erupted.
Whose fault was it?
Well, my wife pointed an accusing finger at me and said it's because I wanted to TiVo this other movie. I told her I didn't know the TiVo. I believe the TiVo's trying to destroy my relationship. that little TiVo thing.
TiVo wants you for himself.
Yes, yeah. Or her.
Get rid of the old lady. I don't like her.
That's the next story. Forget about Damien and the Omen and all this BS. How about a 21st century tale where the TiVo, the little TiVo character, tries to destroy the relationship, you know?
Evo.
Yes, all of a sudden it's a bunch of night calls and Playboy TV stuff and Spice stuff and all that on there. I'm saying, I didn't do it. I swear to you, liar. You lied to me. Oh, strong. Frank?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, my friend.
Mr. Carolla.
We were talking, Frank Vincent, by the way, Phil Leotardo, we were talking during the commercial, Dave, Teresa, and myself, and we said, what a mitzvah it is that you have turned out to have such a big role in The Sopranos over the last few episodes and going into the final episode or into the final episode.
I hope it means something.
I hope it means something, too. It means something to us.
We're very grateful to have you.
Well, we're very grateful to be here. You know that.
I was worried sick you were going to die last night.
Well, he just had a little heart attack, you know, and he got a little pressure because he had to do some work, and it was tough on him, and
yeah, but he cried like a woman.
Yeah, I know. But he almost got blown up there with his little. Did you see his little new girlfriend? How'd you like her?
Yeah,
she was a little rough around the edges.
No, she's pretty cute. She's a little Polish girl. She's pretty cute.
The housekeeper, nice.
She's the housekeeper. She's close. We keep her close.
Now, Frank, are you married in real life?
Yes, sir.
And how about your wife? What if she ever thought you were keeping somebody like that? Would she freak out on you?
Oh, absolutely. That's worse than TiVo.
Wow. Wow. How long have you been married?
I've been married this time 12 years.
Mm. And the first time?
16.
Wow.
Oh, you got a good track record.
Yeah, only two.
And then the third time, how long are you going to be married for?
Forever.
All right, so the third one's the charm.
Yeah.
I'll tell the missus that when I see you.
That's the money one.
You know, I'll tell you what I enjoyed about The Sopranos last night is I think everyone was waiting for something to happen on a grand scale. Somebody's going to die. There's going to be a shootout. Right. Something big is going to happen. And then when it didn't, I think there was a part where we thought, you know what? They always zig when we expect them to zag.
Exactly.
If you expect this out of them, they'll give you something else.
Chase is a wizard. You never know what he's going to do.
But it's amazing that you expect something to happen on a grand scale. It doesn't, yet you're not disappointed. Normally, you would be angry and disappointed. Well, I thought something big was going to happen, and it didn't. It was satisfying.
I saw some comments about the season. Somebody said, it wasn't the greatest season in the world. You know, it wasn't the greatest. But you know what? It's also the best show there is.
Well, that's the tough part, is you're going up against yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're like some batter that hit 401 last year and maybe only hit 383 this year.
That's exactly right.
You're still out batting everyone in the league, but you didn't do as good as you did the year before.
Yep.
One thing's for certain. Frank, you were in arguably, and each week just about, you were in arguably the best scene each week.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, last night was nice. You guys sat down for a truce. Everything was going to be great. And then somebody brought up
Little Carmine. What an idiot.
Yeah, what an idiot. And it just spun out almost immediately.
Yeah.
What do we have? Now, I know you can't give away too much. And the new season starts in January, and then that's the final eight, right?
Adam, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we haven't seen a script. We haven't seen anything.
Do you even know if you're alive?
No.
Do you know when you're going back to work?
No.
Do you?
I'm negotiating now for my new deal.
And what about alternate endings? Were there alternate endings shot for last night?
I can't give you that.
Come on.
You're so close.
There was an alternate shot for Tony's shot, when Tony got shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is that? That's in our rearview mirror now. That's past.
Well, I don't know if that is. That's the thing. I mean, suppose he pulls it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in the can.
Mm-hmm. And then I give it away to the whole world. I can't. I mean, that's Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. And you got a? Do you have a new contract coming up?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
And is everybody being? It's weird. I don't know how the compensation works in the cable world. You know, you hear about the cast of Friends getting $1 million an episode and all this kind of stuff. First off, you guys all aren't on the same page with this. Everyone gets paid something different. You work it out alone.
Right.
Is there the kind of money at HBO? No. Wow.
I didn't even get
to the B part of the HBO before y'all know.
It's a subscriber network. There's no commercials.
I know, and how do they even figure out what the ratings are, and do they do it the same as all other TV show ratings, and then how do they figure out how much to spend? That's my whole thing. Like, if I was HBO, I would just keep running, you know, reruns of Ski School and stuff like that. Well, I wouldn't want to pay millions of dollars for original programming.
I think when they start out promoting the show, they see how many new subscribers came on.
Ah.
And don't forget, a guy subscribes, he's paying $15 a month or whatever he's paying. He says, I'll only take it for during the show, Steve. Meanwhile, he keeps it for 6-8 months or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, you do that 100,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of money there.
Do they know, I don't, maybe you guys do they know what the viewership is of something like The Sopranos? Everyone we know watches it, but how does it compare to The Apprentice, which is coming up tonight, or any other primetime show, or any of these CSI shows? Does anyone have any idea how it compares? I imagine it's smaller, but how much?
Well, I think that the Housewives beat them the first couple of weeks. And I think the numbers were like 15 million and then 10 million in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But you're comparing a network television to subscriber base, so it's actually an incredible number.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, less than half the country has that network.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that is impressive. But they do get numbers on it, because I never seem to hear about that. I always hear about, oh, I love Sopranos and Curb Your Enthusiasm, but who the hell knows if 1 million people or 20 million people are watching?
They get numbers. I don't know how they get
They get Nielsen numbers, right?
I guess.
Well, the point is here's the good thing with you, Frank. All the cool people watch your show.
Right.
Not the unattractive folks that are sipping from a cider jug and playing something on a banjo one of those red states. You get the cool people, the hipsters, the elite. They all know you, right?
Yes, sir.
And they dig you.
They think he's the Shah of Iran.
Right.
That's funny.
All right, so we'll be watching come January. And again, we don't know if you're alive or not.
Well, I think that I will be. I don't know exactly if I am, but I'm pretty sure I am.
Mm-hmm. And will they, and do you know the answer to this, will they pick up where they left off, or will they do it like they've done it before? Some time has passed. Perhaps you're out of the hospital when they come back in January.
Exactly. So they left us off in December of Christmas, right?
Right.
So now I don't know where it's going to start again in January, so now I don't know if... And see, this could be part of his formula. He's stopping in Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to pick it up in January.
Right.
So it's only a month difference. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
So maybe he doesn't move ahead in time like we did during the last layoff. All right, Frank Vincent, everyone, here's the deal. Go to frankvincent.com. Get yourself a Go Get Your Shine Box mug. I'm sipping
it. Oh, by the way, can I just say, another thing, a T-shirt and mug you should do, Frank, is along with the Shine Box one, now it should be Don't Break My Balls About Clams.
Well, you know, we're trying to find a saying for Phil. We were going to say, Jersey, come on.
That's one. Go home and get your f***ing Shine Box.
This Thing of Ours, name of his movie out on DVD, Frank Vincent's in it, as we've mentioned, James Caan, Vincent Pastore, all the big names. Thank you very much, Frank.
Hey, Adam, it's been a pleasure working with you for the last 9 weeks and whatever, and we'll do it again.
I look forward to it, Frank.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos. Oh, geez, when it leaves, hey, it's weird. It's gone. It's out of our life.
Eight more, and that's it.
Well, we'll always have the box set. This is why, by the way, you know, people say, well, don't smoke pot. It's bad for you. You should smoke pot and watch your favorite TV shows or movies, because you can see them 6 months later and they're brand new. They really are. It's brand new.
The more you know.
I'm telling you, get baked and go see a movie, go enjoy it, and then 6 months later, it comes out on DVD and you see it at home sober, nothing. You don't remember a goddamn thing. It's perfect. Promise you don't like it. Turns out it's not funny anymore. All right, we will take ourselves a break. When we come back, we have Ozzy. Speaking of movies, got a movie review of The Breakup, number one at the box office. Bill Rancic coming in, the winner of The First Apprentice. Big apprentice tonight. They're going to pick the apprentice. All that coming up after this.
Wasting away again in Cinco de Junio. Por favor, amigo.
Right. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, what's up? This is Jamie Kennedy.
And Stu the Jid New.
You're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now. 1-866-901-ADAM.
Adam.
Yeah, there's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
You say, reviews the movies, reviews the movies, reviews the movies. Ozzy Castillo reviews the movies, las películas, Ozzy Castillo. Y cuando estaba sentadito en la arena, me decí con su boquita, venga, vamos a bailar. Ay, ay. Y cuando estaba
sentadito
en la arena,
I speak Spanish.
Ozzy Castillo.
All right, that's your last name.
Rosa Maria.
This is Mike. Is it just me, or is it half the time Ozzy sits down in here and talks to the mic, it's not on?
It's about 90% of the time anyone sits at that microphone.
Somebody, always a surprise.
Somebody pointing me?
All right, there you go, brother. What's
good
happening?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ozzy. Such a fresh face in the morning. Ready to go. Are you wearing my knee pads?
Yep.
I bought a brand new pair of knee pads, high-end stuff.
Long time ago.
Ozzy claimed them as his own, and he never stops wearing them. Yes, wears them, and he mocks me by wearing them in my own home.
Constantly reinventing himself, though, looks-wise. Today, he has a curly hairdo with an even thicker beard than before.
Yeah, he's got a nice Jerry curl going. It's a classy look on you, Ozzy. Cinco de Junio. That's the month, the 5th of June. We brought our mariachi band in here. We're going to bring them in the 5th of every month. Thank you guys for playing. Quick comment before we get to Ozzy and his movie review, this time of The Breakup. We got some bagels out there in the hall, and I noticed everybody tears the bagel in half because people have now figured out that bagels aren't at the top of everyone's dietary list. So you think to yourself, I'm going to have half a bagel, but you don't cut it in half. You tear it in half, and then you put it back into the box with the communal box with the bagels. Now, I'm always the last person to show up at the bagels, so there's nothing but half bagels in there, meaning somebody fisted one end of the bagel, tore the other, and then threw the fisted end back into the hopper, back into the bagel hopper. Now I'll grab the thing, and sometimes you'll even break it into quarters. Ozzy, quiet down. Didn't I tell you not to turn his mic on? Point is, sounds like someone's snoring right through my comedy routine. Point is they should start manufacturing half bagels. It seems to me that everyone likes to eat them incrementally. Now, ironically, after you put your grubby paws all over my bagel, tear it in half, and throw the other half back in, eventually you come back to eat a second half. That's how it works. You don't eat half a bagel. You eat two halves separated by 18 minutes. You eat the first half. You think you're on a diet. I'm just going to have half that bagel. Then you eat it. Then 5 minutes later, you go, well, that was breakfast. Now it's lunch. And you head back and go get the other half. But you get to eat the half that someone else got their filthy paws on. So first off, just take the bagel out. Don't rip it in half. And if you rip it in half, take the half with you. But maybe we can manufacture bagels in halves. And this is, we live in a place now where people open the bathroom door using their foot or use a paper towel. Because then, what do you think's growing on that bagel? That's not on that bathroom door. You know what I'm saying? You're putting it in your mouth. You're not licking the bathroom door handle. You're just shoving it with your elbow. Even that's bad enough, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let's work out. All I'm saying is let's work out some sort of decorum, some sort of right of way with the bagels, other than everyone just getting their hands on it, ripping it in half, and throwing it back into the hopper.
My OCD's getting worse, but it disgusts me, the very idea of exactly what you're talking
really?
About.
Really?
That said, thanks to Western Bagels, because they also sent over lox.
Yes.
Oh.
The food of
Ozzy
my people.
Licked everyone and threw it back. Okay. Ozzy, you're going to do what movie for us?
Breakout.
What? Which one?
Breakout.
Breakup?
Yep.
All right.
Oswaldo. Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I'm reviewing today is The Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
It's a star Vincent Vaughn.
That's why we decided to do it. What is the star's name?
Vincent Ball.
Bilbo Baggins.
It's got a...
Vincent Ball.
Vincent Ball.
Now, Lucille Ball?
It's Ball.
I think he calls himself just Vince. I don't think it's Vincent.
Bings?
Yes.
Ball.
I'll tell you, if somebody said... I'm going to have Ozzy tell you the name of an actor. He's a very popular actor. He's dating a very popular actress. He's been in many top 10 box office movies, and he's over 6'2". I will give you 1 year and $1 million and 1 billion guesses. And he just said, Benson Ball. Would you have any idea? Would you ever
guess? You could even say the guy was in the movie Swingers. Who do you think it is? And they might not get it.
Not close enough. One more time with the name, Ozzy.
Vincent Ball.
Well, first off, it's not even if I know you're mispronouncing Vincent, but he calls himself Vince.
Bings.
That's right. That's Bings what he calls
Ball.
Him. Ball.
Ball.
There's a market. There's a very popular supermarket chain out here called Vons. Do you call it Balls?
Bongs.
You call it Bonds.
Yep.
And then Bonds, Barry Bonds would be Barry Vons.
Bonds.
Here's all I'm saying. If you're going to call Vons Bonds, then if your name is Bonds, do you just call that Bonds or do you call that Vons?
Bongs.
Also, what would you call a ball like that you play soccer with?
Ball.
That's ball.
Ball.
All right. And a Volkswagen?
Volkswagen.
All right, so Vincent Ball.
Bings Ball.
All right, let's try this again. Vince.
Bings.
All right, wait. Vince Bond.
Ball.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bing.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Von.
Bong.
Vince Vaughn.
Bon.
It's the V sound. Can you say, like, violin?
Violin.
That was it. That was a V sound.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
V.
See?
V.
V.
No, V.
V.
That's
yes,
it.
V.
V.
V. Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Oh, it went backwards.
I Listen, got it!
Ozzy, seriously. I mean. V.
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 Okay, you got it. Va.
Va.
Vince.
Bings.
Bings. Let's just keep moving. So, Ben's ball's in it. He plays who?
It's Gary Grambosky.
All right.
Jennifer Aniston is Brooke Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
John Fabrio.
Brooke Myers.
And Johnny O.
Wait a minute. Who, John?
John Fabrio.
All right.
It's Johnny O.
Johnny O.
And Joey Lauren Adams is Maddie.
Joey Lauren Adams is Maddie.
Maddie.
Okay.
The Breakout is the hilarious classic feel of the party people with something in common.
Mm-hmm.
Gary is the classic male chauvinist,
mm-hmm.
machista,
mm-hmm.
who is not thinking about her opinion.
Yeah, he's a chauvinist.
Yeah, chauvinist, machista.
Vince Ball is, yeah.
He living in the underwear and sock,
mm-hmm.
and drink from a glass cup. We're playing video game all day and not helping to clean around the condo.
Right.
This lead to their.
So Vince Bond just plays the video all day. Mm. Right.
My favorite part is when Brock uses the strategy to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she make a. Tan, you know, color.
Mm-hmm.
She walking naked in the
She walking naked, yeah. Yeah.
For taking the attention.
She's nice, huh, Ozzy? You like Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, good body.
Mm-hmm.
But the face is not so much?
You know, use the pillow, no worry.
Mm-hmm.
Use the pillow.
The more you know.
Use the pillow, no worry.
So you don't worry, you put her face in the pillow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead,
But I mean, look, if she got you drunk, you'd throw her a bone or something. I mean, throw her a mercy F. I mean, if she, you know, if she needed it.
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you'd be drunk.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So she's a 12-pack.
They make a lot of things, you know, for making the attention to the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she tries to get attention from Vince, yeah.
This week, I will not tell you the ending.
I'm going to spoil
the movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Like sorry, you did last week with X-Men.
I'm sorry about the X-Men spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
My bad.
Yeah, you're bad. Yeah.
At the end of the day, the breakup left this reviewer. Call.
All right. Well, I saw it as well, and it was funny. It's been getting bad reviews. Maybe they hyped it for too long. I don't know what it is. You know, it's one of these things where Vince Vaughn's character is very one-dimensional. You know, he's 38 and he plays video games in his underpants and drinks beer all the time. They do that sort of thing that Adam Sandler does when he makes his movies. Like, the guy's completely one-dimensional. The women love them anyway. I'm not sure why the women love them so much, because all the guy does. The real live version of the guy who just plays Grand Theft Auto or Madden 2005 in his underpants all day and drinks beer at noon, that real guy is also abusing prescription drugs and beating the crap out of his old lady, but they make them lovable. And Vince Vaughn, or Vince Vaughn, is very funny, and he is quickly becoming one of the better comedic actors. As a matter of fact, probably rather watch him than Jim Carrey or even Adam Sandler. I mean, a little more in the thinking man department, but actually really funny. So he makes it. She does a good job. Plenty of laughs, and I don't think the negative reviews are fair. I think it's just a funny film. There's not a whole lot to it. It's not a message movie, and it's a good lighthearted 95-minute romp. Yes, Ozzy?
Yep.
Okay.
You got it.
Thank you, buddy. Bill Rancic is coming in here. He's the only apprentice anyone's ever cared about. The big finale tonight. I've watched every episode, so I'll be watching tonight as well. We'll talk to him after this.
Guantanamera. Guajira, Guantanamera. Sabadabada, sabadabada, sabadabada. Guantanamera.
The Adam Carolla Show. Comedy, opinions, celebrities, news, sports, and so much more.
This is Tori Spelling. You're listening to the insert adjective here. Adam Carolla Show. Oh, I get it.
The Adam Carolla Show.
You're fired.
Don't smoke.
This is really easy.
Smoking.
You're fired.
Don't smoke. Smoking.
You're fired. This is really easy.
Don't smoke.
You're fired.
Smoking.
You're fired.
Bill Rancic in studio. The first, the one, the only, the original apprentice. It's nice, has to be flattering that there's been a few other. What now? So you were the first.
That's right.
Are we on the fifth now?
Tonight we will pick the fifth winner.
Fifth. And where are the other? Where's the second, the third, and the fourth?
Well, they've had their run, you know. I mean, the second, Kelly was the second apprentice, and he spent his year in New York, mm-hmm. and then he moved on since then. And then Kendra, she went down to Palm Beach and worked on a renovation of Donald Trump's big mansion down there, and I think they're selling it right, and it's the most expensive home ever to be sold in South Florida. I think it has an asking price of like $130 million. It's off the charts.
$130 million.
Whoa.
You know what I was like? Whenever I would say something like that to my mom, she'd go, does anyone really need a house that's fit? Does anyone need a car that goes 200? Does anyone? Answer, yes, shut up. Nobody needs anything. We could all be walking around in bean sacks, living off earthworms and grubs, but we want to fly in helicopters.
That's right.
You know how you know you've arrived? When you get the helicopter with the retractable gear.
That's
with the retractable landing gear, not just the skis that I used to hang off of when I was a stuntman.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the Donald has.
That's what the Donald has.
Sikorsky, I think it's called.
And you've been in all modes of his transportation?
Yeah. The jet is as good as it gets.
Really? Tell us about that.
The first time I actually got to ride in it, I had to go back to Chicago, and he said, well, just take my jet back to Chicago. So I left his office. I called all my buddies. I said, get to New York right away, because all my buddies from Chicago. And they flew out to New York, and they rode back with me in the 727. It was pretty...
Yeah, it's not a Learjet.
No. It's a commercial airplane that he converted to his own palace in the sky. I mean, it's got bedrooms and...
Are there stewardesses?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Sure.
Of course.
Are they little
very attractive stewardesses?
I bet.
Who's going to refill the hot nuts if not for the stewardesses?
Now, how about this, Bill? We've had many good-looking characters come through here, a lot of movie star stud kind of fellas. The women on our staff rank you number one. Every one of them, pine for you.
I don't know. That's very flattering.
Bill is much better looking in person. Not to say that you didn't look good on TV, right. But there's like a wholesome, I just got finished playing touch football with the Kennedys on the lawn sort of thing going on.
Yes.
Well, that'd be nice.
I'll be drunk and date raping later, but for now, just finishing playing some flag football.
That's what lures us in.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all part of the hook.
And you're smart. You're going to be, you realized after you won The Apprentice, this is going to be a good time. Let's enjoy this. Let's be single. Let's travel.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, it seems, I guess it seems like somewhere in the past, guys used to have to pretend like that's not what they wanted to do. Now, they make no bones about it. They say, I'm young, I'm handsome, I'm single, I got money in my wallet, I'm going to enjoy myself for a few years.
Rancic's the Joe Namath of the 21st century.
Well, he did have a pretty well-publicized fling with one of the bachelorettes.
That was very brief. Very brief. Couple of dates, that was it.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
You know, this girl lived about, a mile from my house, and we met at some charity event, and we went to dinner a couple times.
It was very low-key. Right. Yeah. So just sexed her down once, and then it was time to move on.
Corolla, we gotta take a break!
Brusket wants to take a break. Yeah, we're running behind. The Apprentice, the finale, is on tonight, 9 o'clock, NBC. I'll be watching... I can't figure out who I'm rooting for. I think I'm going with Sean Lee. I don't like when things...
Sean thinks he's got it in the bag, though.
Yes.
And I don't know if he does. I mean, I was talking with Mr. Trump today, and it's still up in the air, so...
Mr. Trump, name me your penis, or are you actually talking about Donald Trump?
That's little Trump.
The good news is you're fired.
Because I named my thing Mr. Trump. Let me talk to Mr. Trump, see what he thinks. All right, you're in. You're hired. All right, we'll take a quick break. Bill Rancic in studio. We have our mariachi band in studio. We'll talk more about The Apprentice. Also, I think my lovely assistant, Lindsay, has a crush on you as well. Perhaps we'll offer her up to you. She's out there. She's blonde. You've seen her. Good looking,
she's
yes?
She's very attractive.
Well, and a marathoner, as you are.
I am.
Run the marathon a couple times. We'll talk and a love of the Ace Man.
Right? You can share that.
Sure. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Money, money, what I want. Money, money, what I want. Money, money, what I want. Give me money, 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 what I want. I said
the Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Hi, this is Jessie Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
AdamCarolla.com. It's so much better than internet porn. The Adam Carolla Show.
Money por la mañana. Tequila por el tarde y dinero, que quiero el dinero. Dinero es de money, 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 money.
Bill, quit singing. Let's move forward with the show. Señor. Bill Rancic in studio, The Apprentice, the original, the one, the only. Somehow, a man, all the other ones just faded off into the woodwork, but he has remained the first and the original. So the season finale is tonight, 9 o'clock, NBC. I've watched every episode, I think, of The Apprentice since it came on, since you were on it, winning it. Lee is, what, 22?
He's a young lad.
I don't need to see young. I'm tired of young people achieving. I'm tired of watching 16-year-olds realize their dreams on American Idol. I'm tired of 21-year-olds conquering the business world. I'm tired of anyone under 30. you guys shut up and get to work. I'm tired of hearing about your dreams. Am I right?
He is a little young, but he's smart, and he had a great record throughout the entire season. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know.
And then there's Sean. The Brit. Thinks he has it wrapped
he
up.
He thinks he's got it locked.
Yeah, you were saying he called you.
Yeah. He calls me up on Friday and was asking for advice and if he should resign from his job or, you know, and I said, wait a minute, man, you haven't won anything yet.
Right.
Slow down the train.
And if he does win, or whoever wins, Lee or Sean, they immediately just start up with the Trump organization?
You get a few weeks to wrap up. You know, your business.
But then you could, because of the hierarchy of things, you could theoretically be his boss. And if you don't like him, you could abuse
possible.
Him.
That's possible. Yes.
Really?
He could be getting coffee for me.
Now, what is daily work like for you with the Trump organization?
You know, it really varies. In the beginning, it was a lot of time on construction sites and learning. Mm-hmm. I spent the first year with one of Donald Trump's right-hand men, this guy named Greg Cuneo, and he taught me the construction
Graduate of Wharton School of Business, the finest business school in the world.
So now I've been really working on the sales and marketing.
Does he yell at you about the Wharton School of Business every 10 seconds?
Smoking sucks.
Quit
smoking.
The air right out of your lungs.
At Wharton School.
I got to tell you, he's been really cool to me. We've had some good times and really... Genuinely, he's taken me under his wing, so I'm very grateful for the experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pitch you an idea. I like think of myself as a super lazy entrepreneur.
Okay.
I like to give people ideas.
I like ideas.
And you tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
I grew up out here in Southern California, but everyone I know is from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We can probably go around the room. Sheck.
Pittsburgh, PA.
Pittsburgh.
San Francisco, California.
San Francisco.
Chi-Town.
Chi-Town. Brian, where are you from originally?
San Francisco as well.
San Francisco. Bruskett.
Brooklyn.
And my beautiful assistant, Lindsay.
Connecticut.
Okay, so everybody I know.
This is quite the melting pot.
This is why football season sucks. Not only do we not have a team, but even if we did, everyone is rooting for some other team. You're Chicago, you're going
49ers.
For the Steelers, 49ers. Point is everyone longs for their hometown cooking. They always talk, and they glorify it. You know, Dave talking about his Pumanti sandwich. Other folks talking about their White Castle burger. Right. Then you get in these arguments. Oh, In-N-Out, please. We can't touch White Castle. White Castle kicked the ass of an In-N-Out burger. How about this? And because we have all these themed restaurants and amusement parks and stuff, how about like a little home cooking, I call it? It is a restaurant row of the number one restaurant, the indigenous food of your part of the country.
Okay.
We have the
like
White
you could
Castle.
Call it tailgaters, you know, because at the bit you go to a football game and you bring
right.
the food.
Right.
To the,
right. Yeah, you know, everybody. Now, finally, you could put to rest the controversy because you go get an In-N-Out burger and then you walk across the street and you go get yourself a White Castle
right,
burger
right.
and you see what the best is. But entertaining people from out of town when you have people come in, you go up there, they get to have their own food, or just the people that are here that are longing for a taste of their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I think that would be perfect.
And it's a restaurant row, but it's not a bunch of Olive Gardens and stuff like that. It is the place. It is the food you ate growing up in your town.
And each one has a TV tuned to a local station
from
that town. Right.
Yes.
Is it more like a food court? Like where you can wander freely?
Yeah.
It's like Epcot Center.
But you have to have a little bit of a sports theme to it, right?
Yeah. Because it's you know, whatever the teams are of the food that represents
what would be the food?
Pimenti sandwiches from Pittsburgh.
Sandwiches, okay.
Yes.
That would be it. And,
yes.
I don't know what you might have some
deep
Gino's pizza
right,
or something
Donos,
like that.
Maybe, yeah.
But a lot of controversy. A lot of people speak with a lot of pride, but you never get to settle. Dave goes to Beaver Falls twice a year, brings back a frozen Pimenti's, gives it to everyone, and then apologizes that he sat on it on the airplane.
It's not the same.
It's more like Dave's ass than it does a Pimenti's. And people ask me, what's Pimenti's? Like, it kind of tastes like Damashek's ass. So you guys, I guess it's big over there. Point is how about this?
I like it. I like it.
You like it? Couldn't we get White Castle out here to open a place?
I think we could get Whitey's out here.
Talk to Trump.
I think he.
You're going to take this to Trump or no?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he's, you know.
Smoking sucks.
I feel like this is a lot of double
talk.
Tell
him it's an idea that doesn't suck.
Yeah, let me tell you how he's going to take it to Trump. Boss, I had a great idea on the ride over.
That's right.
The good news is you're fired.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's get to business. My beautiful blonde assistant, Lindsay, sitting here. Perpetually blonde. Perpetually.
What are you doing to me,
man? She runs marathons. She's been single as long as I've known her. I don't know what the hell's going on with her. She thought you were cute last time you were in here.
Well, you know what?
Who doesn't?
I actually, a buddy of mine came in with me, and he is a prince from Morocco. Zach, can you give me a wave there?
Wow.
He's actually royalty from the land of Morocco.
Oh. Wow.
And tall,
I'm putting
dark
my 2 weeks in now.
Yeah, I'll give you a little
see, with
goose.
Me, you'd have to work. With Zach, his family controls all the gold bullion in Morocco. You will never have to work another day in your life.
So you're pimping her out to your Moroccan prince?
No.
Why are you trying to pawn her off on your Moroccan
prince? You know what? She's very...
Well, there's nothing wrong
Maybe
with the
taken.
Prince over there
I
either,
just
by the way.
A nice young lady.
Oh,
actually.
You did?
Taken.
I did. You did,
For
yes.
how long have you been dating
it's been,
her?
It's been a nice, I don't know, 5-6 dates at least.
Wow. So
I went to Santa Barbara over the weekend.
Oh, you already had your first weekend getaway?
Had a great time.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
Well,
at
least you're not a cheater.
I think this is made up. Lindsay, take your shot anyway.
All right.
I don't mind the prince over there. I'm sizing the prince up.
He's 6'5", full of muscle.
I don't mind working either, though. I don't need to, you know.
What?
I don't mind working.
You're both marathoners, Bill?
Yes.
You have that
in
common?
Well, I want to ask Bill if he would like to get some lemonade and play some miniature golf.
Ah, that's nice.
Lemonade and miniature golf. That's
lemonade
very innocent.
Lemonade and miniature golf, yes.
Wow. And then who knows?
It's not innocent to your girlfriend. I'm going to tell you right now. I'll spike it with some vodka.
Some vodka? Vodka lemonade.
Is your lady listening as we speak?
That's very possible.
Yeah.
Mm, I understand. Is Trump listening?
He is listening.
Do you think he's with your lady now? Oh, you nodded. He gave me a thumbs up.
No.
He didn't want to say anything. He gave me a big thumbs up. All right. So she's listening. This is too difficult.
It's a little challenging.
It's awkward. How about the three of you go out?
You know, Big Love.
That's what I'm saying.
I've been promoting that show.
Yeah. Well, what is, again with the prince? I don't want to keep getting back to the prince.
We could double date the prince myself.
Ooh.
Can I tell you, the nicest guy. Come on in here, Prince.
What's the prince's name?
Prince Deesh. Zach Deesh.
He's an actual prince of Morocco. I'm going to tell you what. He probably speaks French.
He speaks French. He speaks Spanish. He speaks Italian.
Maybe he can ask out Lindsay.
In French?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Lindsay, qu'est-ce que vous faites ce soir? J'aimerais bien vous prendre pour, je sais pas, faire un petit verre.
He said, what do you want to do tonight? Maybe we could go for some, what's petit verre? It's called a drink. Okay.
Yeah.
A drink or a few. Good. Sounds good.
All right. Yeah.
So it's a yes?
Said,
yes.
That's a yes.
Wow.
In fact, why don't you come to the Apprentice season finale tonight?
Oh.
Are you busy?
I have a ticket with your name on it. Done.
Okay. So
right.
Wait a second. Hold on. Do you have a dress? Because if not, I think the prince might be able to buy you one this afternoon.
He'll take you to Rodeo
Drive.
I could
actually make her one.
Wow. I feel like Pretty Woman.
All right.
Who was also a prostitute, by the way, so maybe that's not a good thing to...
No, that's all right.
All right, so Lindsay, I'm sizing up the prince over here. He's an attractive man, he's a young man, and obviously he's well-to-do. Not that you're a gold digger, but if you guys did ever get serious, how fast would you tell me to F off?
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
I would
2 weeks? Okay. All right, I would not allow such a thing. You treat her like a gentleman. I don't know what else, but just treat her like a gentleman. Bill Rancic, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
The Apprentice season finale tonight, 9 o'clock, NBC. I will be watching, and we will have a winner tomorrow. Also, news and sports when we come back. What do we got to look forward to?
There was a major political gaffe. We have it on tape for you. And also, what does Oprah call her vagina?
We'll figure it out after this.
Près de nous, qu'il fait bon. Près de nous, qu'il fait bon dans mer. Près de nous, qu'il fait bon. Près de nous, qu'il fait bon dans mer.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show.
This is Dave Attell. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And some flunky intern's going to pick up the phone and put you on hold. And you'll have to listen to probably Air Supply. It's worth it.
If you're going to wake up with a strange hairy man, it might as well be him. The Adam Carolla Show.
I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when, because I'm stuck in cold in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have guys actually in prison. David called us a week or two ago. He's in the joint for life. He'll be checking in with us in one moment. But first, it is time for the news with Teresa Strasser.
Last week in New York, the state controller was introducing Senator Charles Schumer at a Queens College graduation ceremony when he found himself at a loss for words during the introduction. He found some.
Poor Chuck, United States Senator, the man who, how do I phrase this diplomatically, will put a bullet between the president's eyes if it could get away with it.
Oops.
Well, that was State Controller Alan Hevesi. Very next day, he said this.
I made a remarkably stupid, incredibly moronic, totally offensive statement.
Mm-hmm. Why do we ask people to apologize, though? You know, if I yelled, you're fat, and then later you yelled, take it back, and then I apologize, does it help?
You know what? You can't unring
Bush.
That bell.
They can't unring the bell.
All right, in entertainment news, last week on Oprah.
And by the way, is an apology worth it when somebody yells at you, you have to apologize? Doesn't that nullify it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if your dad isn't going to your Little League games and you yell at him, go to the Little League games. Is that what you want?
Well, it's like,
is that going to make it right? Maybe this is getting too cathartic,
no.
But you want him to want to go, not for you to yell at him. You want the person to apologize,
right.
Not have one of their lackeys yell at him to apologize.
It's like if I said, tell me I look pretty, and you did, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Because I asked you to.
You begged me to.
Right. On Oprah, she told the audience that she calls her own vagina vajayjay, and one audience member described how her little two-year-old came up with a good name for her own vajayjay.
My daughter, who was two at the time, told her dad she couldn't go to the bathroom because she didn't have a peanut like him, but she had a pinata.
So she calls it a little pinata.
Filled with sweet razzles.
Right, it's kind of adorable.
You gotta have Bishop Don Magic Wand beat it with a mop handle, though, in order to get the razzles out. That's what I've learned.
What the hell is going on
on that show? By the way, I don't want any vagina naming thing that starts with my two-year-old. Okay, sweetie.
I know.
I've heard enough.
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
And vagina names of two-year-olds. Last night was the Sopranos season finale. The show will not be back until January with its 8 final episodes.
And by the way, I get no credit at all for my keen predictions on Friday. I called it almost dead on. If you'll recall, this is what I said on Friday.
About the Sopranos.
Yes. So what's going to happen on the Sopranos Sunday night? Let's see. Today is Friday, so it's still 2 days away. But I'm going to say we'll find out that Chris Moltisanti is going to bang that foxy lady from ER. I bet you that Phil Leotardo is going to plot the death of one of Tony's captains, but then fall prey to a heart attack. And I have a hunch that AJ is going to start making time with a Latina single mother and introduce her to the family at Christmas. I don't know. That's all I'm getting right now. I can't get more specific than that.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good, but it sounds like you just recorded that this morning. I don't think you did that on Friday.
You know what? I'm glad I had the foresight to record this, because I had a hunch that this is the sort of crap you'd come up with.
Oh, Adam, you're so cynical. That's why I also decided to make this prediction today. Again, it's Friday. Dallas Mavericks will beat the Phoenix Suns on Saturday night, which is tomorrow, to advance to the NBA Finals. Oh, yeah, I also predict I'll see X-Men this weekend and like, but not love it. I further predict Adam didn't see X-Men over the weekend. Did you, Adam? Huh,
yeah,
smart guy?
But still, that doesn't prove anything. It's all stuff you could have laid down this morning before the show. I just feel like that's cooked. That's all. What? Oh, we're jumping ahead. All right, screw it. I don't know.
You know what?
I had a cheat sheet to try to pull that bit off. We'll do it tomorrow.
I had high hopes. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time.
No.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, I predict he's not going to be doing the sports because we don't have enough time. David?
Yes?
You're calling in from the joint?
Yeah, I'm calling for the joint, man. Max security.
You're in a maximum security prison out here in California, right?
Yes.
And you're in for attempted murder.
Yes.
Conspiracy to murder.
Yes.
Right. You told an informant that
this
you'd like to
keep... recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yeah.
I love that one. I'd like to work it into my own phone system. Scare my mom for a change.
Definitely.
What are you talking about, Ma? Ignore that. Let's keep talking about dinner plans. All right. So, do you got a band there with you, guys who want to rap?
Yeah. I figured we could expose some talent, man. There's a lot of talent in prison. Everybody thinks that prisoners are ignorant, this and that. But I've got a guy right here. He plays 10 instruments.
Mm.
Can you imagine that?
No.
10 of them.
Yeah.
We got two guys here. Basically, they're going to play a little bit of Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash, acoustic version.
All right. Well, let's hear that.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I hear that train rolling. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. Because I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
I bet the Crips and the Bloods are really tapping their feet to this one. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
Wouldn't have the same effect, though, if Johnny Cash went to today's prison, would it? You're right.
Yeah.
Prison has good acoustics, apparently.
I'll tell you, it wouldn't be hard time as long as this guy was behind me strumming with his guitar. I'd do 20-year stand on my head. All right, Dave.
Dave is deep in the mix right now.
I feel bad because we're out of time. We got to take a break, but the guy's in the middle of a solo.
And what's he going to do to you? He's in jail.
What's he going to do to me? He's going to hang up, pick up the phone, and tell someone to put a bullet in my head.
I would record all your calls right now.
I can play, though. I guess that's one thing you have time to do. Like, when do you find time in your busy schedule to pick up the guitar? I'm waiting for the guy to jump in with the full-size harp. That's what I would play if I was in the joint, the huge harp. All right, David. Okay, I feel bad. Please, Tad, get David on the phone. Tell him we heard, tell him we got off the line 1 second before he got on the line.
Blame Brusca.
Tell him to shoot Brusca if he's coming after someone. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Rolling round the bend, and we missed all them prisoners, but they're still our friends, and we're going to hear them again.
The Adam Carolla Show. Comedy, opinions, celebrities, news, sports, and so much more.
Let me explain the genius of Gene Simmons.
The powerful and attractive Gene Simmons.
It's like what Snoop Dogg did with pot. Snoop Dogg can smoke pot wherever Snoop wants to smoke pot because he is Snoop Dogg. Gene has done the same thing for his genitalia.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
Wasting away again in Junio de Cinco.
Well, we're out of time. I'm sorry. Sorry, my mariachi brothers. Partytimeentertainment.net is where you go if you want a mariachi to show up at your party. We'll see you on the 5th of July. Yeah. I want to thank Rocky Delgadillo, running for Attorney General, for calling in the show. Bishop Don Magic Wand. Remember, green for the money, gold for the honey. Frank Vincent, Sopranos, what a match. Bill Rancic from The Apprentice for being part of the show. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.